This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Cheerleaders for war, for profits, for charlatans, for ratings alone. If you value the worth, the spine, the truth of Pacifica Radio, please show your appreciation. Show your support for KPFT, the station that was twice bombed off the air and rose out of the ashes to become a beacon of light and a purveyor of truth.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1, Houston.
And like we warned, this next song is dedicated to Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Galveston and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored, commercial free, Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, yada yada. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
And of course, we open up the show with the Bootlickers.
Ta-da!
I Just Did Your Boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
That was Jimmy's dedication to Lisa.
Oh, no. No, to Rick. Ricky.
No, no, the song is I Just Did Your Boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, I guess it would be to Lisa, wouldn't it? Yes.
And see, unfortunately for you, he got dressed before he stepped out here.
What was he wearing?
Just his pants.
What?
He was shirtless in here.
No,
I told you to go in and see what he was wearing, and you didn't.
Damn it.
You were too busy assuming the position.
What?
I told you that you were head down, butt up in the hallway.
Well, I was busy.
It's usually how you are when you're head down, butt up.
Well, that's true. Yes, and it's a good position for me.
Showing off your assets.
Yes, yes.
Asset, it's not.
Anyway.
Hey, I guess that mic's already set up. Right?
So we identified the music. And
that's unusual for us.
Yes. Yes. And I and many others were at the Crew of Olympus Mardi Gras Ball this evening. And there is a new king and queen. At the end of the ball, they announce the new king and queen. They come out, and the new king is Clint Howell, and the new queen is Bill Henry. So I wish them both a very successful year as the first gay media to announce this.
Well, it's not like there's much other out there.
Yeah. You know, and when you say that, you're talking about the demise of The Voice.
Well, you know, like I said when we gave the obituary, you know, The Voice has been on life support for several years. And I guess we can say, you know, they were at least kind enough to finally pull the plug.
Yeah, well.
But it's a sad thing that they did.
It's very, very sad. And that actually puts more pressure on the other gay media to bring you the news and events going on in the community, especially radio. With so much free press out there, gay press, it got to the point where I think people weren't really listening to us when we were talking about the news because there are so many outlets. But now we don't have a weekly anything yet.
Yeah, I was thinking about it earlier today. It was so funny. You know, my big start with this radio show was coming in and doing the news segment,
mm-hmm.
where basically Roy went through the Houston Voice, the Texas Triangle, and This Week in Texas, and pulled out news stories that we put together.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, we got two of the three are gone, and one of them, you know, is flighty.
Well, it's now coming out of San Antonio, so it doesn't have a whole lot of Houston news and ads in it. So we are kind of in the funk as far as our community goes and getting word out. So you know out there that this is Pledge Drive, and what we're saying to you is After Hours is not only worthy of your support, but you may find yourself relying on After Hours for more news and views and
Oh, honey, yeah, we got plenty of views.
Yes, yes. So this is the time to give us a call at 713-526-5738 and give us your pledge of support. I don't even know what our goal is. It's probably $400 or $500. And I certainly hope we can make that. We haven't been doing well the last couple of marathons. And
last week we sucked in not
we
a
sucked.
Good way.
And
there wasn't enough people here to suck.
You know, we used to come on at midnight. Now we're coming on at 1. And I'm not saying that the lack of support did that, but I'm sure it contributed to that. And I would not like to see... I would like to see After Hours reach its 20th anniversary, to tell you the truth. And that's coming up in September of this year. So...
But let's
give us a call, 713-526-5738, with your pledge of support.
And in the meantime, we're going to do like how we talk about every pledge drive. We don't put on... Boy, it sounds real strange when I look at who our guests are. You know, we don't put on the fancier shows when that, so...
But we have the fancier guests.
We've got fancier guests this week. So let's give you a couple quick things here for the calendar, and then we've got... our quickie, then the hatchlings are in the wings, and it's getting hot in this room.
Okay, well, today is Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes.
So you can start off your day with breakfast at Mary's.
Naturally.
Naturally. They open at 10 a.m. so that you can have a little cocktail along with your breakfast if you wish. That is how they get to open up before noon, because of course if an establishment doesn't serve food, it can't open until noon. So go in, have breakfast and a little eye opener, and then head over to either your friend's house or wherever you're going. If you don't have anything planned or you'd like to know,
find a lesbian bar. They'll probably be playing the game.
Well, actually, the BRB is going to have is having a Super Bowl special.
Oh,
celebration!
I heard a comment
there.
In there. What was that?
They're still smoking.
Ooh.
Oh, ooh. That's how they're still advertising. Still smoking.
Yeah, that's
try
your
the smoked salmon. It's the best fish in town.
Oh, he went there. Any that?
Hey, at least I stopped the fresh fry comments.
Yeah. The other place to be for Super Bowl Sunday would be the In-N-Out over at 1537 North Shepherd.
But we're going to talk a little bit more about that later because of the challenge.
Oh, yes. Yes, we will be talking about that.
I tried getting permission to talk about that because I wasn't sure, because I saw the challenge get thrown down and I never saw it get picked up.
Oh.
So, but I was handed it, so I've got the paper in my hand, so I know the challenge has been accepted.
Oh.
Okay, why isn't your...
Well, there's a couple of more things going on before we bring in our after-hours quickies for the evening. Tomorrow night, GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, is having their monthly meeting at the Community Center at 7 p.m. And after that, it's Montana's Movie Night over at Mary's. Then on Wednesday is the Jukebox Show, weekly event over at Mary's at 8:30 to 9 o'clock. And before that, you might want to stop by, I believe it's the BRB, doing the Louis Packet stuffing at the BRB at 7:30.
Yes, that's the HEC.
Yeah. Then on Friday, you could be over at Tony's at 8:30 p.m. for Spice It Up with Ginger. That would be Ginger Vitus, Empress of ICOH. And next Saturday night is Mary's Pre-Valentine's Day Madness. That starts about 9:30 p.m. And I know that we've got the Colt 45s here. We've got royalty from the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Let me throw in one calendar item real quick first.
Yes.
Yeah, he keeps forgetting that part.
Okay.
He just finally learned how to pronounce it, so the abbreviation. P-Flag Houston's February meeting. Can GLBT people find lasting love relationships? Will be on Sunday.
Sunday.
February 4th from 2 to 4:30. At St. Paul's United Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
The program for the February meeting is consists of a panel of gay male and lesbian couples who have been in committed long-term relationships for many years. Please join them as these couples share their stories of committed long-term relationships and answer questions that audience members may have. Now, I'm curious about this last... I give up trying to figure out what goes on in this show in the other room.
Me and Jimmy have something big and black between us, so.
Oh.
The one part I didn't hear, I just read about this line on here, a goodbye reception for Sue and Jim Knoll will be held at this meeting?
Yes, they're leaving.
Oh.
Houston. Somewhere else.
Maybe. Now you know why he's in the other court now, don't you? For more information on PFLAG, go to pflaghouston.org or the PFLAG helpline at 713-46-PFLAG.
Very good, Anel. Spoken like a true smart ass.
Officially,
praise Jesus.
It's time for Cult 45's monthly segment.
Cult 45's are dying right now. Come on.
And we have President Stephen Bunch and
Treasurer.
And, is that what you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
For another month.
For Falcon? Yeah. Okay.
Whoever was just sucking on whatever in there.
He's got something big and black between them, too.
What? And he still did it.
Steven was sucking on something, and someone keeps bling-blinging.
Do you know
there.
It's been about
it's
a year?
It's all about the bling.
It has been about a year and a half since Steven wore his kilt here.
Steven?
Yeah, sure has.
Yeah.
One of three.
Hey, it's also been a year since that you know,
maybe
both Jimmy
Patrick's
and I
dead.
Have been here during the cult segment, too, so.
Maybe I'll bring up.
Well, you know.
I'll bring out the IRA kilt for.
A little bit too cold for a kilt
St. Patrick's
right now.
Well, then you get somebody to warm you up.
Right.
So, Stephen, what's going on with the cults?
I don't know.
No.
But you want to?
I will interpret for you.
But real quick, and I can turn this over to the rest of the gang, if I might say, Darren, you know, if I was, I would be remiss if I did not say thank you once again to KPFT After Hours for inviting us here, KPFT Radio that listens to you. 526. Oh, no,
526-5738.
Can't they take that?
If they you're scoring at home, or even if you're alone,
they put on different ones.
We have a couple, show, but we still need to raise about $400 or $500.
Our news sign says no smoking. Actually, I don't see the other one.
We have a couple little show things going up, and I'll get by those real quick. First of all, we have something called Puppy Love.
That doesn't apply to cigarettes.
It's an evening benefiting the Colt 45s and
yes.
Southern Country Houston.
Wow.
Sunday. February 11th at 7:30. There's a fabulous little knick-knack show with Twisted and Romantic Entertainment with some prizes and drawings and all sorts of romantic curios. I don't have my
can
black
burner. Can you hold that poster up again so people can see it?
I have a pie chart here.
Yeah, hold it up to the microphone. So they
and earlier in the day, Southern Country is doing a spaghetti dinner at the BRB with three dinner settings. Three. Count them.
Would that be a spaghetti
western? Sound of my voice. Starting at 4, 5:30, and 6:45. If you'd like to know more, please contact SEARREVA@yahoo.com or call the cult hotline at 713-526-6088. And we can attach the...
6077.
6077. 7788. Oh, sorry. 77. Boy, first time I missed that one in a while. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Are you going to leave those there for me?
Yeah, I put one in there, too. Cool. For your trusty sidekick.
Jimmy.
See? Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll need to discuss where you get your copies made at.
And we have in our hands, somebody mentioned about a little Are we talking about that on the radio?
Yeah.
Are we
going to
Should we?
What's this tomorrow?
The challenge.
I don't know. We probably should talk about it later.
Yeah,
the
no,
challenge.
No.
There was a little challenge during earlier in the week that the Houston area Bears challenged the Colt 45s. Bears, Colts, I don't know. Something about a game or something. I don't know. I didn't see it on the news. And the challenge was from the Houston area Bears, and the Colts have accepted. If the Chicago Bears beat the Indianapolis Colts, the Colt 45s will host a fundraiser to benefit Hatch, Houston area teen coalition of homosexuals. Hatch is the chosen beneficiary of the Houston area Bears. When the Colts beat the Bears, then the Houston area Bears will host a fundraiser to benefit the Colt 45's Ace Trouble Fund.
Cool.
And we're going to, other than the little water holes that we normally squirrel around and watch the game, if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
That's right.
We're going to congregate at In-N-Out at 1537 North Shepherd.
And place.
Maybe throw some challenges and do some other nasty
nice little
cheers and things
bar.
Like that.
It's fun.
Cool. What's all I'm going to say about that?
Falcon?
Me? No. I'm the quiet one.
What? When did that start?
Only when you're gagged
when
and bound.
When will that start? Let's put it that way.
Now, there's my challenge for you.
It started two Sundays ago.
And clothes.
Tona.
Dirt.
No, the only thing, I mean, I can
Your
actually...
Your face is so red.
It's hot in here. Dude, turn on the air.
Dude.
I'll turn on the air. Pull my finger.
Dude. Dad, are you still here? Cheyenne, quit grabbing for his finger. Cheyenne, that's not his finger.
No. Oh, God, no.
Welcome to Amtrak Radio.
Nobody's got a finger that big.
Me?
Okay. Who said me? Okay, I'm going to switch hats here and do the whole Louis hat again.
Oh, please do.
Do the Louis hat. Yep, we got a pack of stuffing coming up at 7:30 p.m. this Wednesday at the BRB.
Mm-hmm.
We do need help. Anybody who wants to learn about HEC, how we put on Louis every year, come on out. You can see one aspect of it and talk to the other members.
HEC being the Houston Council of Clubs.
Houston Council of Clubs.
And Louis being...
Let us entertain you.
Weekend. That's the weekend after Mardi Gras.
Always. So also,
but sometimes that weekend changes.
It does.
Oh, yes.
With Mardi Gras.
Yes.
Now, coming up for Louis starts the 22nd of February. Registration will begin at EJ's from 7 to 11. Then on Friday, we will pick up registration again at 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at Mary's. And then finally, Saturday is when the run officially goes crazy and hog wild. We're going to start at 6:11. We'll have registrations from
the bar 6:11, not 6:11 in the morning.
Yeah, the bar 6:11.
Oh, okay.
We queens don't do 6:11. We don't do 6:11 in the morning unless it's all the
unless
way around.
I stay up later.
I was gonna say, that's when I go to bed. Registrations will be from 10:30 to noon. Then we switch over to the Ripcord, and we have our luncheon and a whole bunch of fun activities going on. That goes until about 4 o'clock. Then we switch over to the BRB, and that's where we will have dinner and some more fun activities. We'll have the Tiffle Tea Hats Parade at the BRB that night at 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Larger clearance space.
Larger clearance, yes. These hats are getting enormous now. And then we move on to Sunday morning at Rich's for the show of shows. Should last till about 3 o'clock. Then we go back to Mary's for the after-hours party. Still more fun and activities. And anybody who wants to know what the Tiffle Tea is, that's where we make the spouses of the presidents of all the organizations create a hat.
The first ladies.
The first ladies of the organizations.
Whether they be men or women.
Exactly. And we ask them to create a hat and parade it around. And it's not open to just the member clubs. It's open to everybody as long as you're a spouse of an organization's president. If it's not the president, you can go to the vice president. Just keep on going down the line until you find somebody who's married. So... Christopher Garrett, get ready.
That's why there's a lot of breakups right before the new year, isn't there?
Like, yes, there is.
It's like before the Valentine's Day, you break up so you don't have to buy the candy and roses.
Yeah. You know. So that's it for me. It's been a quiet month, and I think we can turn it over to the pretty people in the room.
Can I ask one question, please?
Yeah. Sure.
What's the registration cost for Louis?
Oh, it is free to everybody outside of the zip code of 77. Otherwise, if your zip code starts with 77, it's $15 per person. We also have t-shirts for $15. So it's a lot of fun and activity for a very nominal fee.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, just if you just go to the meals, you know, you'll get your money back.
Oh, yeah.
$15 between the breakfast, lunch, and dinner you get on Saturday and breakfast on Sunday.
So you mean the meals or the food?
And dessert.
Well, the other noshes is up
to you. We put on, 611 puts on the breakfast on Saturday morning. The luncheon, I believe this year, is going to be fried chicken with all the fixings. Mm-hmm. The dinner is always Damaris Barbecue. Thank you, Damaris. Mm-hmm.
Not always. It's been a couple of years.
Lately. Since I've been going to it. But lately, it's been Damaris Barbecue. And then Sunday morning, we have breakfast tacos at Rich's. And, you know, you can go up to the bartender and get your favorite Bloody Mary and mimosas and stuff. So it pays for itself just right there with the food. And then there's other things that you get for free.
Cool.
But enough of the Texas pennings.
No.
What? You're talking about things you get for free.
Oh, yeah.
Big men's club has pins. Big men's have pins.
Yeah, I'm trying to get as much practice in as I can, you know.
So, does your group actually have pins now?
Yes, we do.
Oh.
I don't have one.
You have been practicing. Could you put the trailer hitch back on my truck, please?
Well, it's new means polishing it up.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I saw that on Discovery Channel today. They were polishing knobs.
Okay. It's time to talk to the royalty. The emperor and empress of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court. Single star.
Inc.
Are here.
God. Jimmy, it's an absolute pleasure to be back.
Thank you, Chris.
Is it now?
And
in a whole nother capacity.
Thank you.
Yes, actually it is.
Yeah.
No pressure.
No,
exactly. Yeah. Much more to ease.
And you're wearing much nicer jewelry.
You like that?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I had to take my hair off, but it was a little too big for the headphones.
It's all about the bling this year.
And both have quite a bit of nice bling. I'm really eyeing that necklace that Chris has got on. That is really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
And huge.
And you're sure you're talking about my necklace?
I could wear that as a jock, you know it? It's that big. Or I'm that little.
Of course, I can wear it as my five jocks. No.
See, I never realized Jimmy wanted his jewels encrusted.
I'm speechless right now. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. See, they're all about this.
Yeah. It's all about it. Yeah.
I want to thank each and every one of you out here in Houston that came out and supported our organization to make this happen. The Big Men's Club actually served desserts.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much. We truly believe in what we do and why we do it. As I said here, as a candidate, and now as your reigning empress, which is very odd to say.
But fun.
Thank you. Because of each and every one of these people in this community, this is why this happened.
There you go.
So that we can lead this organization and this community in a positive manner for the next year.
You have got a very special event coming up.
We do.
You?
We do.
It's the investitures, which is the opportunity for one last celebration of what I guess I was going to say regent, right. But it's actually
Emperor.
The Emperor 22, Ronnie Siebert, and Emperor 22,
Empress
Dee Dee DeMarco. We give them the chance to spread the wealth, so to speak, with what they've accomplished for the year, and we actually will issue the checks to the beneficiaries.
Nice.
And then it gives us the opportunity, Cheyenne and I, to announce who our beneficiaries will be.
Will be.
as well as to invest the line.
Right. And how many line members do you have, and what are their titles?
That number is actually growing. You have no idea. We had an incredible night last night over at the Guava. It gave us an opportunity to have an Imperial Social Happy Hour and a jump start on the general membership. And it is going to be a record year, I believe. Everybody is excited, and the applications are coming in every single day.
Yes, your organization is really growing strong.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yes.
They had 26 new members last year. Cheyenne and I are always about a goal, and I can guarantee you our objectives is at least one more than that. And I'm sure there's somebody out there that wants to do good and wants to have a good time, and we surely welcome them to participate with us.
And have a good time and raise money.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Well, remember, Investiture is the 17th of February. Doors open at 6.
Yes.
And where
at
is it?
1415, California.
Nice.
And the actually investitures will start at 7 and a show immediately after of the line.
And so you will name...
We will name a beneficiary or a beneficiaries.
And
you want the inside scoop?
Not the names of the people,
right.
But the titles.
IPR, IP.
Well, you'll have an... Imperial Prince and Princess Royale. You'll have an Imperial Princess and Prince. You'll have a Grand Duchess and a Grand Duke. You'll have a Duke and a Duchess. You'll have a Marquise.
Oh,
Marquesa and Marquis. You'll have a
Count and Countess. Viscountess and Viscount. Baron and Baroness. Don. And Rainier.
Lords and ladies.
Wow. Everybody gets a title.
Somebody.
Good. Good.
It took me long enough to get this one. 10 years in the organization and 5 years of doing drag. Hello, Jesus.
But we're
here. Yeah. Let's move forward. I want this stuff to start.
That's right, because you've raised a hell of a lot of money in the past few years.
All about the community and why I did what I do.
And I'm looking at you now. You and Chris, you make a really nice couple. And
thank you.
You have beautiful rings that match.
Well, we do.
Where did those come from? And, could you?
They were a gift.
Kind of explain them over the air. What they look like?
They're crowns, but they were actually a gift. His is from his partner, Mr. Christopher Garrett, who was Emperor 21. And I was actually given one, a smaller version, that was passed down to me from Empress 18, who was given to now Empress 22. And was given to me last year to hold on to see if it was going to happen.
Wow.
And I have to pass it down, so I made sure I have another one here.
I see.
That matches that one.
Gotcha.
Because it was very ironic because we didn't even know that was what
no
was
kidding.
Going on. Nor did we know that we each had one.
Wow.
And this whole thing has truly been very ironic. We've been together as counterparts for the last
two and a half years.
And now we get to reign together for the rest of our life.
I think it's like a household name. It's a Christian Cheyenne.
Yes.
It just flows.
Yeah.
So it's been a godsend, as well as the community actually realized what they wanted and what they were going to do. And so it's been a blessing. And we hope that we will fulfill and make sure that we make this community very, very proud for what we'll do for the next year
and
the years to come.
I would love to be able to announce all your functions that are going on.
We're going to try to be back at least once every month.
Please do. Please do.
If it's not...
If it's Chris and Cheyenne,
then
it will be a representative to
your stand-ins, which would be the IPRs, right?
Or an IP, whoever. Whoever, because the organization is really stepping up. I think it's going to be a really good. Really
yeah,
good.
If
we
not,
want to get the word out there.
Because if not, you have Falcon representing you, and I don't know.
Well, you know, he represents a lot, and I actually commend him for what he does. So,
well. We
may have different views, Precious, but I don't.
We, since the demise of The Voice, getting the word out to the community is...
Very important.
...is even harder.
Harder, but very important.
And that Chris and I have been chatting about maybe a little change in the after hours to kind of fill that gap where the voice used to be and bring that news and events to the community. We've been doing fundraisers for years now. I really believe strongly
as
in
we've done
promoting
together for many years.
Promoting fundraisers. There are certain things we can and cannot do on this radio station. We can talk about a bar that hosts fundraisers, but we can't talk about drink prices and, you know, specifics like that. But because that becomes advertising. But I always promote the bars. You know the bars that EJ's and BRB and Mary's and Tony's.
Sure. They're all here to help.
Though all those bars every week set time for fundraisers in their establishments.
We certainly couldn't do it without those people.
That's right. And so I'd like to promote them as much as possible, and would love to have representatives from Arisa's here.
We will certainly make it. We will make
do everything possible
great.
To make sure that
good
happens.
Practice. We also have our own website as well. It's Arisa's.org, ERSICSS.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go online also and get your application and print that off and get it to us. But you can get on there in the calendar. It will make sure that he points you in the right direction.
Yes.
They're giving me notes.
We are.
I can't talk and read at the same time.
Because, you know, if you're, I have people say, "What's going on tonight?" And, you know,
We actually have. When we say we have a great group of people, they are so excited about getting started that they're actually doing a benefit show before we name the benefit.
Wow.
Which is
that's very,
very exciting. There is a birthday show at George's,
mm-hmm.
or George, I should
George.
Say. There's no S on that. On the 11th of February, it starts at 6 o'clock. There is a chocolate fountain and all the goodies to go along with it because it is Brett Avant's birthday celebration. We are having a fun and festive what we call jukebox show.
Mm-hmm.
So unless they want to do drag, they can. If not, it'll certainly be a evening of relaxation and certainly entertainment. But the little twist on this, and I'm sure they'll appreciate this plug of advertisement, if you walk in the door and make a $5 contribution and you get your armband,
mm-hmm.
you will then have well drinks and domestic beer for free.
Wow.
For 3 hours from 6 into 9.
Wow.
So
that is
certainly
a deal. Now, that's next Saturday night?
Sunday?
The 11th. Okay.
It's a perfect example of what an establishment can do to support a charity or an organization.
Kidding.
So hats off to George.
That's pretty amazing.
And to Brett for coming up with a wonderful idea to celebrate his birthday and give back to other people in the community. So please come out, buy your armband, certainly throw one back with us and have a good time.
Good. One more time, let's have the information on the investiture, because that's going to be a pretty important. Now, this is a formal affair, isn't it?
Very much. Yeah. Very much. Chris and I will be able to announce our beneficiaries that we have chosen for this year.
Mm-hmm.
It will be Saturday, February 17th at 1415 California. The doors will open at 6, and the event will start at 7. There will be a show right after that,
afterwards?
At 1415, with the line that we've invested, including ourselves.
Cool. As well as out-of-town guests, because it is
well
a state function.
Oh, sure,
so there's people
guests.
Coming in
oh,
from
I'll
all
bet.
Over the country.
I'll bet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, great.
So,
thank you for
kick
being here tonight.
Well. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you. After hours, and we look forward to a year-long celebration.
Absolutely.
Okay. Chris, you have something in the machine?
That's a loaded question.
Bam, you're in.
Yeah, I think it's going to go.
Do you have some music queued up?
Yeah, we're going to play song number 2 that we didn't play before.
Okay.
That gives us almost right. 6 minutes to shuffle people in and out.
Oh, this must be the Mark Weigel song.
Mark Weigel.
And this, I love to play this. I love to play this before our first segment on the first Saturday, because our first segment is Hatch. It's called Love Your Body As It Is.
Oh, that was my cue to hit the button, wasn't it?
Well, here's one. Become what you've always wanted to be. Your new body awaits you at gym. Great. Is there something wrong with your old one?
Right here.
Okay. This is it. Page 37, our local gay newspaper. Laser hair removal. Prices starting at $99. Botox, collagen, Symetra, microderm abrasion, laser treatment for wrinkles, dark marks, unwanted tattoos, red faces, and broken blood vessels. Mole removal, glycolic chemical peels, acne, facials, eyelid surgery, brow lift, facelift, scar revision.
Scar revision. That's interesting.
You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the soul you make yourself.
Mark Weigel, Love Your Body As It Is. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and it is our pledge drive. So we ask for your show support by calling 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, or you can go to kpft.org and make a pledge for this show. And now, it's time for Hatch. Your mics are on. You're ready to go.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Obviously, we're Hatch. For those of you who don't know what Hatch is a youth group specifically catered to the GLBT community and their allies. We are here for youth between the ages of 13 and 21. And we meet on Fridays and Sunday nights. If you want more information on any of those meetings, you can go to our website at www.hatchyouth.org, or you can call at 713-529-3590. Or if you would like help on any issue that you have, or if you're stuck in a bad situation and just need someone to talk to, you can call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard Houston. The phone number for that is 713-529-3211. Some of the things that we have going on at Hatch soon. On Sunday, we actually have a Super Bowl party. There's going to be wonderful people, wonderful food, wonderful entertainment. You should come. after that, we're going to, you know, obviously celebrate, you know, Valentine's. That will be February 11th, Valentine's and Mardi Gras.
Mardi Tines.
Nice. And then there are a couple other fun things, which are all listed on our website. And again, that's www.hatchyouth.org. I'm Pamela, and I guess we will go around and, you know, give introductions. So I'm Pamela, I'm 18, and I am from Houston.
I'm Amber, I'm 19, from Houston.
I'm Corey, I'm 17, I'm from Houston.
That would be me. I'm Brendan, I'm an adult facilitator and volunteer for Hatch.
Okay.
I'm Madison, I'm 19, and I'm from Houston, Galveston area.
I'm Christina, and I'm 18.
I'm Alvin, and I'm 18, from Chenevier.
Awesome. Okay, so tonight we were hoping to talk about the coming out experience and different phases of the coming out experience, and then what we like to call our aha moments, which is when we realized we were gay and we realized it was okay to be gay. Who wants to start?
Does anyone have an aha moment?
Aha! So many!
Okay, just to point out, aha totally isn't our words. Oprah also, in every magazine, she always has her aha moment and what she knows for sure. Just putting that out there.
So if you ever hear Christina say, what I know for sure, just
Oprah
mention Oha and Oha. Mention Oprah. And it's all good.
We're having an Oha moment.
Aha moments, okay? We have a lot of them. About a lot of different things. More than just being gay. So, we would like to talk about some of them. Amber, when was your first aha moment when you were like, oh my god, I think I'm gay?
I'd rather not disclose this.
Okay. Cool. You know what? Okay, I'd be more than happy to disclose some of my aha moments. There's a lot of them. Every day. Anywhere from being in second grade to being in ninth grade, you've always got this little aha moment. I remember one of my first times, I remember having an aha moment thinking something's different. It was in second grade, first day of school, while all of them, everyone's like getting together, and it's like the first day, everyone looks nice, they have their new school supplies, and everyone's talking about the cute boys. All right, the little girls are in the corner and the boys are in the corner, and separate sides of the room, we're all talking about cute, you know, like before. Well, I wasn't looking at the cute boys. I was kind of looking at the cute girls. I think that was my first aha moment. Totally. Can anyone relate to that?
Absolutely. I had a similar experience whenever I was in first grade, actually.
I beat me to it.
I know. Uh-huh. Yeah, there was a... gosh, I can't even remember. It was back in Beaumont, and we were kids. We all hung out on the playground together. Of course, there were the popular kids, and they were the not so popular kids, and there was me, and a couple other people. It was fun, and we had a great time, you know, hanging out and everything. But there was this one girl, who I don't know why, I had this weird freaking attraction to her, but. I still remember, like, it was freaking yesterday. Her name was Christy. She's this cute little short, you know, girl with blonde hair and brown eyes. Like, I remember everything about her. And her name was Christy, and she always brought graham crackers to class. And so we would have snack time in class, and I'd be like, hey, I should bring graham crackers at some time, and we should share. And so we did. And so we became friends, and then she ended up moving to Corpus Christi, and I'm like, ah. So that's, I lost my first love.
Graham crackers.
Definitely an aha moment.
I'm convinced that you'll get over it.
Maybe
what I
one
know
day?
For sure is that you'll get over it.
Maybe one day.
What if she's listening right now? Time. Seriously, you've given her name, you've given what she looks like, you've given her location. She'd be listening right now, and she'd be like, oh my God.
And then she can come and find me, and we'll live happily ever after.
And eat graham crackers.
No, I mean, there are multiple schools in Beaumont.
Right. Anyway. There's only one Christy, though. Anyways, okay. I'll have moments. What do y'all know for sure, you guys?
I know I got y'all beat on the second and first grade. Mine was in kindergarten, transgendered, Little Mermaid dress, watching the Little Mermaid in the living room. Yeah, that was definitely my first moment knowing something was different.
Awesome.
Tell us about it. How did Ariel inspire you?
How does this make you feel?
Ariel inspires anybody in the gay, lesbian, bi, and transgender community. She's different and dreams of being who she is and doesn't want to hide how she feels.
I agree. She totally inspires me. But so does every other Disney movie, like Mulan and
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
We digress.
Hunchback of Notre Dame inspired me.
So, aside from like, aha moments. I don't know why I want to say oha, jeez. But just simply the coming out process. I mean, when you think about it, you think, okay, well, I'm, you know, of course, I'm realizing something's different, and I'm realizing, okay, what can I call this? What can I identify this as? And there's so many names now. Alphabet soup, that's what we call it. And, you know, there are so many different names that you can go with. And I have identified myself as a lot of them. You know, bi, straight, lesbian, so many other things. So I just decided omnisexual, you know, like, why not? And let's just be cool with it. But the process to getting there was a very long road, and it is for a lot of different people. And I think it's a different route for everyone, you know? So... what do you think, like, for example, Elvin, how did you end up coming to the realization of what you identify as now? Like, what were the steps, the major steps?
Me? Well, I knew that I was gay when I was 16. Well, not 16, I mean 6 years old. Kind of young.
Sort of different, honey.
Right. No, I knew I was gay when I was 6, but once junior high came around, I tried to go bisexual, and I was dating a chick for 5 months. It didn't work out, so, and I didn't like the whole bisexual thing, so I just sticked around with being gay. So, now
it seems like bisexuality is a middle path for a lot of people. Way before they come out from one extreme to the other, they'll say something that's kind of in the middle because it's safe to go from straight to bi, then to gay, or then to lesbian, because to go from straight to gay can be a huge gap. So I know bisexuality is often used as a crutch, and I think probably the majority of us in this room have at one point in time muttered the words, I'm bisexual.
You know, over the years I've seen Hatch Youth come and say they're straight,
And after they've been there a little while, then they'll, oh, you know, maybe I'm bi, actually. And I think I'm bi. And then after a period of time, they come out as gay or lesbian. Now, that's not to detract from the people who are bi and view themselves as being bi and that not being a transition, but that's true. I mean, just in Hatch, you can see that over the years that has been a transition for them.
Definitely. It's safe, but it's not to say that bisexuals don't have any credibility, but some people do use it as a crutch. Because it's easy to say you're bi. Because it's both ways. You don't have to make a decision. There's no commitment in being bisexual. Not to say that bisexuals don't exist.
And not to say they're not committed.
Yeah, no, but...
Have any of y'all that are gay or lesbian, have you told your parents or your family that you're bi instead of gay or lesbian because you thought it was easier?
Oh, yeah. And it just confused them. Yeah. It confused my mother. I told her I was bi because I figured I'd like, bring it on slowly. And it confused her. She didn't get it. She was like, you know, you're one or the other. And I was like, well, not today. Then tomorrow, I came out.
You like mustard and mayonnaise. Nothing wrong with that.
Spaghetti and lasagna. Whatever. Whatever your analogy wants to be.
Spaghetti and lasagna sounds a lot more appropriate.
But for my...
And it's cuter.
Well...
I think, but from my experience, I think that the anxiety of coming out was a lot bigger than actually coming out. I was like, oh my God, I want to go to this Hatch prom, but I don't know how to tell my mom I want to go. I was like, maybe I can just have my Aunt Jean take me and then pick me up. And she's like, honey, she's like, I finally realized, like, when were you going to come out? Because you never talked about a girlfriend around me. But she said, if you want to go, you got to tell your mom. And so, like, I went and told my mom. And she was all right. She didn't think I was ready to go to the prom, but I went anyways. And my Aunt Jean took me. And she was like, woohoo! Because she's this big graduate school social work professor. And one of her students was there, and she was like, woohoo! And I was like, okay. So I think the more of the anxiety that came with coming out was bigger than actually coming out. But even though I still do have problems, you know, so I guess it's just normal as you, like, come out in the process.
Have you guys had the experience that it was harder to come out to yourself than it was to, like, other people? Like, harder to realize what and who you were than to come out to other people? Because, like, I know when I first came out, I was like, okay, I can deal with liking girls, whatever. That doesn't mean I'm gay. Or I can deal with, you know, looking at girls, and that doesn't mean I'm gay. And it was a hard battle because... Everyone describes me as all-American girl, and we all know this. And that can't be gay. but I am. But that's part of me. And for me, that was harder. Because as soon as I was, like, coping with it, it's like, we got this. You know, it's cool. Everyone was, not everyone, but the majority of people who I told were fine with it. Because, I mean, I guess because they just know me. But did anyone else have that experience, like, that it seemed harder to come out to yourself than it did anybody else?
Is that a no?
Maybe.
I think everyone's a little shy, but I think everyone has had that anxiety. I think this is an excellent reflection on anxiety of saying things. How many of us in this room are completely 100% out?
Okay. I don't know.
So not that they could see the raised hands.
I'm about to tell you. Yeah, I'm about to tell the world. Okay, about four people out of seven.
Merlin wants you to know.
Five, you know what?
Right now.
Merlin's proud.
I have a family that I never see still. But
okay, so
what does coming?
They don't know. Is that anxiety?
Up. Why should it?
I hear some defense.
No, like, my grandpa, I was at a wedding a couple years ago, and I took one of my friends that looked like a boy. And so he asked me if that was my boyfriend. I go, no, grandpa, that's a girl. And he goes, oh. Oh, well, is that your girlfriend? No, just friends. Oh, okay. That's the last that was ever spoken about my relationships. It's never come up.
Why don't you think it's come up?
Because they probably already know.
So why doesn't anyone talk about it? Why is it taboo?
Because they're all rednecks.
Maybe.
Don't want to go.
You only knew.
I don't like it as, sweetie. Just don't like it as. It's okay.
I don't get along with half of them. No point talking to them about it.
So who else doesn't get along with their family because of
I don't
weird
speak
stuff?
To my family.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't.
Well,
I don't talk to anybody
that,
I'm
you
related
mean, like,
to.
If, you if you're out anyway. To everyone, mm-hmm. do you mean you have to admit to everyone that you're out, or is it just you're out? Because you I'll tell someone if they ask me, but I'm not going to go around and say, hey, I'm gay.
Right on. No, I remember before I even told one of my parents, I told everyone I was 100% out because I lived like I was out. I wore the t-shirts, I wore the jewelry, I took women out in public. I lived like I was out, and I lived like I was proud. So whether or not certain people know or not doesn't determine whether or not you're truly out, because it's about, you know, being proud of yourself. So...
Well, then I say we should take a recount on votes. Because if you want to go that way, then I would say a lot more of us are that way.
Well, there's a difference in that. There's a difference in being completely out to yourself and being completely true to yourself. And, you know, being completely comfortable with yourself. And then there's a whole other thing about being out to other people. So is it, how many of you are completely 100% out to yourself? I mean,
yeah,
so a couple of us. Actually, maybe not all of us are. But how many of us are completely out to everyone we know?
A lot. It's a lot easier to say things to other people than to say things to our own reflection.
Everybody I know knows I'm gay.
That's
Merlin,
awesome.
Sweetie, everyone knows you're gay, even if they don't know you.
Merlin, you're a fixture in the Montrose, Merlin. They may not know who you are, but they know the blue guy with the cane.
Yeah.
So you are a fixture here. So
plus, you have the biggest swish in the neighborhood.
And it's only gotten bigger since I've been on the crutches.
Hello.
I do have to step in and let everyone know that you are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Quick pitch plug.
Woo-hoo.
Something like that. This is Membership Drive. We're asking for your support. Because one of the things we are especially proud about with this show is the fact that we give a voice to the youth, and we know that there are youth out there who listen to this show week in and week out.
Absolutely.
Hiding physically sometimes in a closet, listening on a Walkman radio or some sort of listening device, that they can hear this show and know that there's people out there who understand where they are now, and that it hopefully gets easier as time goes on, and that you get to hear the perspective of today's youth on the coming out process. So, you know, we know it's especially difficult for students of the hatchling age to do that, but for the older listeners out there, consider the fact you're supporting the next generation of our community. And call in with your pledge of support to 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, or you can go out to the website, kpft.org, and show management that we're still viable. And we'll be here week in and week out, and you know, hopefully we're not confined to the same bin as Voice and Triangle and Q Texas and all the other ones, and we need your support to do that. We now return to the regular schedule program, already in progress.
You know, I knew fairly early on something was up with me. You were talking about those aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my family should have had an aha moment when I made my own Wonder Woman costume at the age of 9.
Well, yeah, that would be a pretty good one.
Yeah, baby, that might have given it away.
That should have given it away. And along the lines of something Chris was just saying is, I wish, oh, how I wish there had been a hatch-like group in my neck of the woods on Long Island when I was a teenager, you know. If there had been a group like yours back then where I lived, maybe I wouldn't have tried to kill myself twice as a teenager. The coming out process for me was nothing short of living hell. I came from a Roman Catholic Republican family, so.
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah. Everybody goes, Roman Catholic and Republican? What? How did this how did this happen? I'm like, believe me, it happens.
You're still living?
Yeah. My mother, when my mother found out I was queer, mind you, she didn't find out from me. She found out from the dean of students at my high school.
Ouch.
Yes.
I wonder how that one happened.
Yes, they got called into the office one day and told that their son, and I'm revealing my other name here, their son, Bobby.
He's telling
all these other kids in school that he's gay. I think my mother ice skated the rings of Saturn a few times before she came down. Because she walked in the door not speaking to me. The first thing she said coming through the door, and she wasn't speaking to me, she was speaking to my father. She said, he hates me. That was... Everything I did was a reflection on my mother, apparently. And my
hold on, that wasn't the Catholic, that wasn't the Republican, that was the Italian talking.
No, it's the Irish talking. On my mother's side is Irish. My father's side is Sicilian. And she just, I mean... And, you know, as frustrating as that moment was, the first thing that... came through my mind was mom, and I didn't say it. Luckily I didn't say that to her, because otherwise I wouldn't be here right now. I said something in my head to the effect of no, the reason I hate you is a completely different thing altogether. I remember, I just think there's an amazing amount of value in what you kids, and you'll have to excuse the phrase kids, but, you know, I'm almost 40. Get over it.
Stay young. Thanks for the compliment.
You guys have an amazing outlet for being who you are. And in the past, having been here like 8 years now, I would have to say that some of the most together kids that I've met in our community have been former members of your group and former members of your group. Kids who have aged out of your group.
That's
who are now adults.
That's very sweet to hear.
So, anyhow, that's my 2 cents on that. Next.
Well, that's beautiful, first off. I hear a lot of adults say, a lot of gay adults say, you know, man, if when I was your age, if we had something like Hatch, that would have been so much easier. Yeah. It would have been so much better. It would have been much easier to cope with. Mm-hmm. And as young people and as kids, you know, even though we're legal adults or whatever, and you're glaring at me, Amber, for saying kids, but that's what we are to, you know, another generation. Hopefully, with work, dedication, and devotion, we can say that to a generation, you know, younger than us.
You are.
And say, man, you know, when we know I was your age, I wish we had as much as y'all have. Hopefully, this can keep growing. Hopefully, that, you know, beautiful organizations like this will not only, you know, hopefully there won't be one in Houston. Hopefully there will be, you know, several. Hopefully it will multiply and become a bigger deal. And more people here and, you know, more people can have it.
You guys may be chronologically kids, but some of you, I am quite sure, have been through more than a lot of adults I know.
For real.
Definitely.
Just because of that one little detail about your lives.
Well, and not to say that that's the only thing about us or,
absolutely,
you know, or gay people. And I think that's...
Like, you're all more than just gay people, you know? It's not the only thing about you, you know?
Yeah.
There's other things.
And it's very true, and I think that's a very big common misconception, is that when someone thinks that they're gay, or when someone has the feeling that, oh my gosh, I might be gay, they think, oh, but that's the only thing anyone's ever going to think about me, is that I am just this gay person running around and doesn't know what the heck I'm doing. And that's completely not true. And I think part of the message that we want to send to people is that you can be gay, and you can be out, and you can be proud, and you can be all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also be whatever you want to be. You can you know, achieve whatever goals you have. And you know what? Do not laugh at me. I do not need to achieve smiles. No, and this isn't meant to sound cheesy, but the gay part of you doesn't have to be the part of you or the only part of you, because there's so much more. I mean, geez, Merlin, for example, grown man, you know, a very gay, very into other things too, and he spreads that around. And the first thing I knew about Merlin was not that he was gay, was that he was into tarot readings and he was into unicorns and he loved the color blue.
Yes,
I knew that before I even knew he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's
like
a part of that, is just saying, you know, coming out to yourself is saying, oh my gosh, I'm gay, but coming out to yourself is also saying, you know, I am gay, but I'm also so many other things. I mean,
I'm gay, but I'm also pagan, HIV positive, disabled, you know.
And I funny love people. And cute.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Why is it... why can't I get guys to say that to me?
I don't know, sweetie.
Why can't I?
Look, we girls just love
every time
good emotional men.
I swear to you, in the last year, the only people who have ever said that to me are all women.
Well, sweetie, maybe the world's trying to tell you something.
Well, oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
I should talk about being out and proud.
Is there wrong having both sides? Do you?
Huh?
Oh, no, I was just joking. but for a different perspective, you know, as a youth, what do you guys think? I mean, what has been the process of you guys coming out? I mean, what have y'all gone through? Either whether it be with family, whether it be with friends, whether it be just coming out to yourselves, what have you guys experienced coming out? If y'all don't talk, I'm going to. Seriously.
No, I mean, I don't.
Don't all yell at the mic at once.
Seriously, yeah. Don't interrupt each other, you guys, because this is getting atrocious. No, but, I mean, we all have experiences. I don't know why you're being so shy. I mean, there's definitely a...
Tell us about it. Tell us about how you've gotten to be to the point where you're sitting here in this station. And,
seriously.
You know.
You have an outlet right now, just like Hatch has an outlet. You have an outlet right now to express yourself and to tell your story.
And whereas we may all have heard a lot of the stories before, there are a lot of people listening who haven't.
Well, coming out was a big step, but then also trying to, like, take that big step into a new community.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're around people that are, like, happy to be the way they are, happy to be lesbian, happy to be gay, happy to be transgender, happy to be bisexual. When you've been in such an environment that's like, if you're that, we need to crush it right now. We need to talk about you. We need to call you faggot. We need to call you all these words. And now you stepped into a community where there's people and they're happy and they're free to do whatever they want. And it's just like, for me, it was like, is this too good to be true? I was like, wow, these people are actually, like, happy the way they are. Because, like, I'm so used to, like, when I want to be gay or act gay or do gay things, people are always there to ridicule me, saying, that's not right, you're a boy, you should do this, you should play, you shouldn't color, you shouldn't dress up, you shouldn't sew, you shouldn't do, like, half the things you do. And so taking that big step into a new community where it was all right to be where I was sort of like my aha moment.
Yay!
That's totally outrageous.
Thank you for sharing, Corey.
Sorry we had to adjust you a little bit.
Does anyone else want to share an aha moment?
I will, because if I don't, I know Pam will.
Ooh!
Okay, so...
No, I don't mean
Madison,
that.
Tell us
I don't mean
your
that
moment.
Like in anything. Because I like Pam's stories. You learn a lot from her. She's excellent on that part.
Okay, quit sucking up.
I don't have to suck up to Pam, okay?
Okay.
We're good friends. That's friends, okay?
Anyways, your aha moment.
Well, my basically... It was, and I'll be honest, most of the time I haven't told people this, was last week of June this year when I was driving home from work and I got pissed off at myself and everything, and I stopped on the middle of the railroad tracks. Put a train coming. Oh boy, was that fun. Train came. I was like 5 seconds. And I was telling myself, you know what? Why live a lie, you know? And it's like being gay, straight, or whatever else. You know who, you kind of know who you are already, but you never officially accept it until that one point when it's the one thing you realize that you can't keep going on if you don't, if you deny what it is. So when you reach that moment, and for some reason something just told me, just be who, live it, be who you are, because that's, there's no way you're going to get out of it anyway. So I finally heads my truck off the thing just about 2 minutes before the train probably rear-ended my back axle or whatever, luckily. Surprisingly, nobody else, there was no vehicles around, thank God, because I would have felt bad if there would have been a cop arresting me for suicidal maniac, whatever else. And train go, I drove off. Next day, I called our mother of Hatch and everything, and got directions to Hatch, and showed up on the doorsteps to the place and everything, and walked in, and I still don't think I was officially out to myself, because you know what, it was frightening to come into this place. But then you come into a community of people your age. I mean, I looked around and was like, what the hell am I? I mean, did somebody let loose a nutty farm and spend everybody around? Well, I mean, honestly, that's what I thought, really. I said, I mean, because you hear, I remember, let's see, the very first thing I heard when I came in, I remember this, besides hearing from our facilitator welcome, was one of the women go, man, that orgasm she gave me was awesome. I was like,
not to represent Hatch in a bad way, we also have fun with our topics and with our intentions. Yeah. Because we're so comfortable with them.
Oh, no.
I wasn't talking about crude things all the time.
But I've just met, I wasn't used to ever hearing that. And if I did, it definitely wasn't she gave me a woman to a woman thing. But, you know, then I opened it up and I thought about it and I said, you know what? These are people like me. I mean, we're a different status and of the spectrum, but we're one and the same. We're all a big community. And I said, you know what? I am trans. I am gay. Whether or not I'm gay, like, for men or whatever, we are all gay. We're all connected. That's a beautiful one community. We're all a rainbow. And everything. Or a flower, a field of flowers, if you don't like the rainbow analogy. Mm-hmm. But we all make one thing beautiful.
And definitely, speaking of beauty, what I really liked about your story, and knowing you and seeing your personal development, from going your car on the train tracks to seeing you go out in public proudly and seeing your transformation, and you haven't changed at all, you know, physically, I mean, you know, as far as I know, but I've seen you transition so much just within these past few months, and that's beautiful. And what I like what you mentioned is a living a lie, and that reminds me of a lyric, what's the point in living if you can't feel alive? And if you're not living true, if you're not living true to be you, if you're not living out who you are, what you want to do, if you don't express yourself and you oppress yourself, there's no point in living. There's no point in going on. And you know, not everyone has to know all the time. Not everyone has to know, you know, exactly every little thing about you. But if you don't feel free, what difference are you going to make? And what change will you be? Be the change that you want to see. Don't live a lie. Don't be closeted.
Thing.
Don't listen to the, you know, 90.1, you know, in your closet, you know. Be free.
And I did listen to 90.1 in my closet when I was in high school. And there was no Hatch segment. And I'm a former hatchling myself. The great thing about Hatch was it was the first place where being myself was not an act of defiance. And that was a really great freedom. Because I was openly gay at a small Lutheran campus, small Lutheran school in Seguin, Texas, where, I mean, it was just a really harsh environment to be the token out gay man on campus. It was just, you know, sometimes it was cool, other times it was just completely horrible. And I didn't get introduced to Hatch until, I guess it was the first time I'd come back for Thanksgiving holiday with a friend who was involved with Hatch, and she brought me in, and it was just, I almost didn't know what to do with myself, because for once, you know, being myself wasn't like an outward act of revolution to the community around me. And it was kind of hard to figure out how to integrate at first, but it was a really great freedom.
Yeah. First time I was ever out to people my age on a more open basis was when I was in college. That short stint in college. I remember it didn't occur to me back then that colleges were much more open places than, you know, your little small town high school kind of thing. Of course, in my neck, I lived in New York, so, you know, on some level, the openness was a little more, but we're still talking about the mid-late 1980s and the early 90s. And the very first time I saw some kid walking across the quad wearing a Queer Nation t-shirt, my eyes just about fell out of my head.
Oh, she fainted.
You know, I was like, oh my God, there's somebody who's saying they're queer and doesn't mind other people noticing. I was like, that was like, whoa, to me, you know? It's just, yeah.
He's confused. He has his bim in the magazine.
just thought you'd let you know.
Something like that.
You know, yes. That's the girl serving at Walgreens these days.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, was he looking at the magazine?
Yeah.
That's what I was watching. In case any of our listeners wanted to know.
You're all so photogenic.
The Outsmart magazine this month has a picture of the Hatch Youth Steering Committee in it. That's a very good picture of all of them. So you should.
Oh, wow. Travis is on the steering committee?
No name bashing.
Okay,
while he's
wow.
not here. While he's not here. Yeah.
It's fun enough to bash him to his face.
It's much more fun to bash him to his face, which I do regularly.
Verbally, we don't condone violence. You know, let's not pick on poor Travis. He's awesome most of the time.
Well, it's all cool that time. You guys have a
Everyone's
photo
awesome.
Out smart. So
it's very cool.
It is. It's very good.
Congratulations.
And
good picture of you, Amber.
There's a big thank you to Outsmart and their editor who works with Hatch. And he knows who he is.
Thank you.
Thank him. Anyway. So, okay, I'm going to share a story.
Yay, Pam stories.
Oh, well, I'll take a deep breath when I want to talk.
Pam stories.
Yeah, Pam stories are good. No, they are long. So when I was in my coming out process, I actually jumped right into it. I, you know, simply because of the way things happened with me. Every single person who meets me hears about the person who pretty much changed my life, who pretty much, you know, taught me how to write and taught me that it was okay to be yourself in every way that you wanted to be, even though she really wasn't. And this was, I will not out this person, even though they've already outed themselves. But this is a person who was very, very close to me, and they were also an authority figure. This is why I want to out them. But this person and I had a wonderful, you know, friendship, wonderful relationship. And she and I got to know each other, you know, like I said, very, very well. I'm going to give this person the name Becky. And Becky and I got to know each other very, very well. And we, you know, hung out all the time, and it was a wonderful feeling to know that she was there no matter what. And this is when I was in eighth grade. When I moved after eighth grade, and I came to Houston and all that. This person moved away from where I lived at the time also. So, you know, we didn't really see each other, but we still talked. And I've maintained a relationship with this person, you know, very, very, you know, friendly over those years. And I've known this person for 8 years. And to know that this person has inspired me, to know that Becky has inspired me to be all that I can be,
and to do everything that I do without ever knowing it, without ever knowing that she ever inspired me. Until, of course, I told her. She inspired a lot of change. She let me know it was okay. And at that time, I was also part of the church, a part of a very, very, very strict church. And I did travel around the nation. I did, you know, preach, you know, what some people call the word. And that is what I did. And she let me know that, you know, I didn't have to do that to be accepted. I didn't have to do that if I didn't want to. And she did that from afar. And that was fine. And, you know, I will always appreciate her for that lesson. And I am still a very spiritual person, but I do not do the same things I did then. Whenever I decided to come out, I simply wrote Becky an email and I said, hey, I'm making a lot of changes in my life. And she automatically says, what, you finally decided to come out? She knew. She knew already. And she had no idea the effect that that had on me. And to this day, she probably won't. She doesn't know. And she probably never will. Hmm. But then that summer, and towards the beginning of the school year, I was in a relationship, which ended kind of tragically. And, you know, we moved on from that. My first girlfriend committed suicide.
Ooh.
And from that, it was a horrible experience to go through, and it was very bad tragedy. But a lot of good came from it, because everything I do that's activism is dedicated to her because of the reason she killed herself, because of the reason she felt like she could not live any longer. I dedicate all of my work. And so when we have something like the Day of Silence, I'm completely there for it. I'm completely into that, because that is what I represent. And so my coming out process was pretty emotional, and it was also very quick, because as soon as that happened, I threw myself completely into activism. I mean, I did magazines, newspapers, radio, television, anything to get that message out there. I mean, this message was sent to New York. This story was sent to New York, even from places I had never heard of, from places in Greece, had heard this story and wanted to make a deal about it. You know, to know that this girl had such an effect on so many people who did not even know her, obviously is going to make me want to do things. It's going to make me want to search for a better world. It's make me want to find out why it's such a big deal, why so many people care that, you know, that gay kids are killing themselves simply because they're gay. And it was a very emotional thing. And so I had to come out to myself very, very quickly when realizing it was such a big deal. And now there, you know, I will go through and I will meet so many people, and I love so many people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, simply what I will tell people is, you know, do what you want to do and always be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. But a lot of times there are situations you can't be true to yourself. And if that is the case, still be true to yourself, even though you might not be able to be true to everyone else about who you are. But that doesn't mean that there isn't someone exactly like you, even though you're special in your own little way, but exactly like you, who can understand you and who can cope with you and who can be your best friend and who can be there for you. There will always be that person. You just have to find them. And so in my coming out may have been a little different, I'm assuming, from some of the other people's in this room. And that's simply that mine was emotional, mine was tragic, and mine was very, very fast. And very, like, driven to create change, not driven to make myself okay, to make me realize I was okay, and to make people know. Because after I came out to, like, so many people. And the next year at school, really that year at school, after that happened, you know, we had a GSA at the school that I went to at Clear Lake. And it was awesome. And we totally, you know, had a big deal about it. It was cool.
Theater club.
Because everyone knew. And we made people know there was a GSA. We made people know it.
you were part of that coming about, weren't you?
Well,
actively,
for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, I did not create the group, but I did help run it for a while and from afar. And I did help create the one at Creek also, and other places. And it's that knowing that there's so many different ways you can come out, and there's so many different areas in your life to come out in. But whenever I was part of the GSA, the whole thing was about marriage in Massachusetts. And there was an article in the newspaper about it. And I had the newspaper because of that. But there was also an article about President Bush, which I was interested in. And I wanted to read, but I also wanted my dad to read it. So he was reading it, and he flipped it over, and he saw the gay marriage thing. And he was like, oh, okay, what is this? You know, why have you been so interested in this lately? And my mom knew, but my dad didn't. And this is how I came out to him. Was I didn't intend to, but he guessed, and he was asking me about it. So I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll tell him. And he guessed, and it was kind of like one of those, okay, it's all going to be okay. Because my dad, I did not think was going to be accepting at all. But, and not that he was, but he didn't do anything harmful. He didn't do anything, you know, not that he really would have, but he didn't do anything to jeopardize my life or his life or any relationship that we had or have. Because my dad and I have a wonderful relationship.
He reminds me of a teddy bear.
You should tell him that. But, I mean, that's how my coming out was, is I threw myself into it so everybody knew. And, you know, I told my grandmother, or rather, Candy. I told Candy. And we actually did a dedication to her one time on this show, because I was gonna take her to a gay club. I still haven't. That's what makes me sad. But she still wants to go. And whenever I came out to her, she told me, you know, not that I'm gay, but I wish I had that experience. And I love her for that, and I always will. But I came out to my other grandmother, and she was like, don't tell anyone in the family. And if you've ever seen my car, we call it the gay mobile for a reason. If you see it, you know I'm gay. And you know, well, you if you don't, then you're blind. So, and I've driven that to where my grandparents live. So obviously they know, but it's not for me telling them. So whenever, you know, we asked earlier, are you 100% out? I will raise my hand because, of course, I am. Now, whether people accept that is totally on them.
Yeah. How much out can you be when you have bumper stickers all over the car? That's pretty good out.
Does your bumper even have a place of paint on the back?
Oh, no. I mean, there's still a lot of room for bumper stickers. I'm adding more. I'm doing the whole car, actually.
It'll be the art car parade any day now.
I know. Merlin, you and me, we're going to make there it happen.
That'd be awesome.
You know,
there were two thoughts. One, you were talking about your first relationship. I didn't get into a relationship till I was in my 20s, till my mid-20s. But the very first guy I remember being in love with in high school, who didn't know it.
Of course.
Who didn't know it, but I was head over heels in love with him. And unfortunately, I was probably one of the few people who could have dealt with the fact that he was gay. But he died in a car wreck my senior year. And we never once said the words, you know, to each other. We both knew it, but we never actually said the words. You know, by the way, I'm gay, you know. And oddly enough, along those same lines, I told you that my parents already, you know, they went through their thing. But the very first person in my family, in my entire family, to look me in the face and ask me if I was, without, like, all the drama, was my sister-in-law from Atlanta, Georgia. She turns to me one night and she says, are you gay? And we're sitting there watching Murphy Brown, you know. It's like,
definitely.
I'm like, okay. And it's like, and she's like, are you gay? And I'm like, yes, what makes you ask? She's like, oh, just some stuff you've said here and there. It's okay. I'll tell your brother. Not another word was said about it ever again. It was just not an issue with the woman. And I still think it's strange that I had to come halfway across the country
to Houston, Texas to be out of the closet and to be and to find other people who accepted me just the way I was.
Such a blessing too.
It
took my mother 10 years after I came out to finally start dealing with it on a level beyond the back burner in her head.
Yeah.
So, because I remember when I came out, I came out to my parents. We were in our family counselor's home office because my father was dealing with all kinds of, like, depression and rage issues. Wonderful time to come out.
Totally.
And, of course, my mother was, you know, the absolute control freak who was losing her mind. And she had, you know, threatened him, if you don't get help and get medication, I'm serving you the papers. And so in the midst of he's getting counseling he doesn't really want. And then all of a sudden, ta-da, Thanksgiving. I have a lot of coming up milestones around Thanksgiving. Funny that.
Ashley Yams. By the way, I'm gay.
Yes, that's right. Mm. So, but we all gathered around. It was a Saturday after Thanksgiving. And we were in the counselor's house, and I was like, well, I guess the best way to say it is I'm gay. And my mother's like, I knew. I didn't want to admit it, but I knew. Of course she knew. Like, in my sophomore year in high school, she, like, found some gay porn in my room. She was like, what is this? And I was like, just curiosity. Don't address it again. I'm done with it. I'm going to give it away. Lie. Came out, and my dad took about 3 months to deal with it. And he was like, there's nothing I can do about it and your family, so I'll just get over it. And my mother just, like, couldn't let it go. And I remember after we got home, she started asking me all these questions because I, like, really developed an interest in boys first. And then around the end of middle school through high school, I went to this thing where I was, like, dating girls. And
yeah, I never had that problem.
Bisexual phase. It was like, I was like, boys, yes. Let's see what the girl thing is about just to make sure. And then, and to this date, one of the healthiest relationships I ever had was like a year-long relationship at the end of high school with a woman. Go figure. My mother just started asking me these barrage of questions. And she's like, well, have you ever had sex with a man? And I thought, oh, Jesus, if she's going to ask me these kinds of questions, she deserves the answer whether she knows she wants it or not. So I was like, yes. And she says, have you had sex with a woman? And I said, yes. Do you have any more dumb questions you want to ask me? Finally, my dad put a stop to that line of question. He's like, Louise, you really don't want to know all of that information. Quit asking.
The next one, you know, was going to be physician, so.
Oh, no,
oh, man. Absolutely.
No. She's a good, well-heeled, second-generation Norwegian girl from the upper Midwest. She knows nothing about that stuff. If she does, I don't need to know.
That was my father. The most scarring thing in my life was hearing my father ask the question, so are you a top or a bottom? Oh, Mother Goddess, help me.
Oh.
I looked at him, and I'm like, Dad, that's really none of your business, but I'm a top.
Well, I think Dad asked that for a reason, though.
I'm like,
are you pitching or catching?
It's like, sure, why not?
I think in some weird way, it's for the male machismo attitude that it makes a difference.
And yeah, because if Sicilian, you're so, you know, top, then it's still, you know, giving.
Somehow it's still alive.
You're not the gay one.
Right.
Mm.
Wow. What a military way of thinking.
I'm just saying the opinion, man. But not that it's mine.
Saying what a military. Well, my father was in the Navy.
Right.
Or Sicilian way of thinking, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
Of course, the really fun coming out experience was 2 weeks before coming out to my parents. I came to Houston unbeknownst to them to talk to the girl that I was still dating to say, you know, something's been not right, and I just decided I need to come out and tell you I'm gay. And she was like, yeah, I figured. It's like, really? I mean, because I was very openly, you know, bisexual with her, and I was, you know, I was always faithful, but, you know, we used to sit around at cafes and cruise the guys walking by. And she's like, yeah, I pretty much figured.
It's a lovely pastime.
And I said, oh, and you couldn't clue me in? She was like, well, I was enjoying myself, so I spoiled the fun.
Oh, that's beautiful. So,
everybody else had it figured out before me.
Cool. Elvin, did you want to say something?
I don't know.
Well, yes.
Like y'all were saying earlier about being all out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm pretty much out to everyone I know, except my dad, because I feel like he is a really big bad homophobe. And
is this he is, or you feel like he is?
Well, I think he is, because every single time he sees, some show or something, and there's, like, a gay character or something in it, he starts saying a lot of bad things about gay people and stuff, so he is a homophobe. And, well, every single time I go out to visit him out in Georgia, when I stay with him, I have to play as the role of a straight man. And I totally am sick and tired of doing that. And, well, I came out once to him, and he didn't take it right and everything. I was 15 when I did that. And after that, I never told him again that I was gay or anything. But I've been planning ahead and to come out once again to him and make him understand that I'm gay. And I never came out to my older sister either, but I think she has a clue because of MySpace.
Maybe slightly, honey.
That's a dangerous place.
Yes, it is.
If you don't want people to know your stuff, don't write it there.
Don't put it on the internet.
Don't put it on the internet. Somebody will find out.
Everybody will find out.
I don't understand these people who are like pageant folks and stuff, and yet they put themselves all over. It's like, you know, a while back there was that porn star whose wife found out he was in gay porn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, okay, right, yeah.
Eventually, they're gonna see you somewhere, you know? It's like, don't put yourself out there if, you know.
Well, I mean,
anybody you want to hide it from at all?
Don't put it on a computer.
Don't put it on a computer.
Mm-hmm. Elvin, are you gonna be seeing your father anytime soon to be able to come out to him again, or are you just gonna?
Well, I'm planning for in 2 years though, because I am gonna see him by the end of this month.
Right.
But I don't think it's a good idea to
come
out.
You're gonna wait the right time.
No.
Well, I think you should follow your heart with that. I think that you should definitely do it whenever you feel comfortable doing it and you feel like it's the right time, because if you don't, then
right,
that would never be good.
Besides, right now, me and my dad are starting to bond as friends, which is kind of awkward for me. So.
But very important.
I do want to point out for our listeners that although we've come a long way as a community, and I think to some degree it's easier for youth now than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago, but even today we have youth that say, I can't let my parents know or I'll be kicked out of the house.
Absolutely.
We have youth that have been kicked out of the house and have had nowhere to stay and had to stay with friends. And we have others that have to keep it quiet, otherwise mom and dad will cut off funding for college. So I think being out and coming out is a powerful thing, and I think it can change your life in many ways and for the good. But you have to weigh the risks involved in doing that with where you're at in your life.
There's a article that was in the early edition of the Sunday Chronicle. I'm not sure if it's going to be in the current one you're going to see in the morning. Two national advocacy groups accused the federal government last week of neglecting what they described as an epidemic of homelessness affecting tens of thousands of gay and lesbian youth, many who leave home because of conflicts with their parents. The National Gay and Lesbian Task Force and the National Coalition for the Homeless said GLBT youths make up at least 20%, possibly as much as 40% of the total number of homeless and runaway youths. a population that experts have estimated between 575,000 to 1.6 million a year.
That's scary.
That's intense.
And we see it at Hatch. I'm not surprised.
We see it at Hatch, and we see it in our daily lives. I mean, some of our friends are runaways. I mean, let people stay at my house if they needed a place to go. I mean, that's totally something that, you know, not saying I'm opening my house, everyone, but I mean, that's definitely something that we've seen. I mean, I know I personally have seen a lot, and I don't know. I mean, have you guys had any experience with that? Have you guys had any experience in runaways or people coming to you because of a GLBT issue or a gay issue?
I've known a lot of gay runaways. A lot. This neighborhood is littered with them. It amazes me, and maybe it's just the way I grew up, or something I got into my head when I was a little kid, that there was supposed to be this idea of unconditional love when it comes to families. And somewhere along the line, I found out that unconditional love comes with conditions.
it's the part of the Bible that they don't highlight.
It's not the stuff in the red letters, apparently. It's just like, they say unconditional, yet it's conditional upon you. I will love you exactly as you are, as long as you do exactly as I say, as long as you are exactly what I want you to be.
Right, and that's ideal.
So that drives me insane. That they're supposed to be about unconditional, families are supposed to be about unconditional love, and yet they put these conditions into, as long as you're just like what we want you to be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it sucks when that happens.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys want to say anything else, like added on to that, or tell any last, like, few stories?
Well, I just wanted to pose a question.
What's up?
You know, a lot of times, like, people go to support groups for alcoholism, drug use, and, like, you know, being gay is, for example, Hatch, or, like, you know, some all types of anonymous things. And it's like, you go in this group and you feel safe, you know, you feel welcome, you feel wanted. And it's like, okay, Hatch is on Friday and Sunday, but it's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it's like, it's like, what am I supposed to do? It's like, you deal with all the certain things in between the week, and it's like, you wish you could have that support group every day, but I don't know. That's just part of my problem with coming out, is that sometimes I wish I had a support group on the days where I really needed it.
Well, and you can. And you can create that group with a group of friends. I mean, it's not always, you can't always rely on someone to make that group for you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully people are able to find those friends that they can relate to.
Yeah, as gay, lesbian, transgendered people, I think as time goes by, you build a family unit outside of your blood family. And for some people, that's all they have, is the family unit they build outside their blood relatives.
The family of choice.
Right. Not a family. Yeah.
What's all my sisters and brothers here?
Okay, so we'll be wrapping up the Hatch segment now. There's a couple of announcements that we wanted to make. On Wednesday, February 4th, the National PFLAG Scholarship Deadline is happening. So for any of the youth who are thinking about getting into college, the National PFLAG Scholarship is a wonderful scholarship, and, you know, good luck. it's due February 14th, though. The other one, March 1st, is the PFLAG Hatch Scholarship. That's an excellent one to apply for. If, you know, there's any doubt in your mind, you should come to a Hatch meeting, and I'm sure we'll talk to you about it. There are a couple others, and they're also, you know, can be found on our website. And again, that's www.hatchyouth.org. Or you can talk to one of our youth service workers by calling 713-529 3590. Or if there's an emergency that you ever need to talk to anyone about, you can call the Gay and Lesbian Twitter of Houston at 713-529-3211.
Awesome.
That's great.
So, I have a quick announcement, too. If there are any gay, lesbian, or transgendered youth that are homeless and you need some resources or you need another option, there's the gay, lesbian, transgendered hotline. And that number is 713-529-3211. And it is connected with the Montrose Counseling Center, and there are resources that they can direct you to and assist.
All right. That's awesome.
Well, that was Hatch, so we'll see y'all later.
Thank you, Hatch. We've got some thank yous we need to do.
We do.
I'll turn the other mic on there.
All right.
Well, we have got Paul to thank, who always comes in a pinch.
That's right. Paul pledges every single pledge drive, every single one. He's been doing it for years now, and we are most grateful for him.
And a very generous pledge from Cindy. Who pledged at a level. She's getting the Picker Poet CD set from KPFT.
Really? What's that?
It's a set of CDs from 1985 of poet singers, I guess, we had here
cool.
on KPFT.
Cool.
So I think we're quite well on the way to our goal.
Yes, we are.
And I have another little pledge here.
You do? Oh, I see. I know where that came from. He is rubbing postage stamps across the microphone because Tigger has written in and sent in his monthly pledge.
And Tigger cannot hear us.
Still?
But he still can't hear us.
Damn it.
But he has some spies in the outside world.
Well, good.
Who have told him that looking at getting some new stuff that hopefully he'll be able to hear us soon.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard a comment I made on the air about a month or so ago.
Oh. Oh.
And so if someone out there knows Tigger and knows what type of form he sent in, that will be sent back in as soon as possible.
You bet it will.
So his spot, and here, I'll give you the other mail. This one's for you. I got a feeling this is for Rad Rich.
Listen.
The Master. I started to read it. It sounds like for Rad Rich.
Okay.
So we'll put that in his box.
Gotcha.
But we need more people to call him with their pledge of support. 713-526-5738.
We sure do. We need to really let management know that this is a viable program, and we want to stay here for our 20th anniversary coming up in September.
And we want to stay here for longer.
Well, yeah, much longer than that, but at least until then, yeah. Please.
I mean, we look at the fact that, how much of the gay media we have lost here in Houston.
Yes.
And let's face it, they left because of financial reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They were commercial enterprises, and they weren't bringing in the advertising revenue.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, they had to go their way. And our station, we are not commercial.
No.
We're not going to sit here and tell you what sodas we're drinking. The closest thing we come to commercial is during the daytime when they get food donated.
Yeah.
They tell you what restaurants. Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you the menu or the prices. So,
yeah.
That's not advertising. Like I was saying before, we can talk about gay bars doing fundraisers.
Yes.
And promote them in that manner, but we can't talk about drink prices or anything like that because that becomes advertising.
And like Jimmy had said, we're going to try stuff, and we're going to try and do some more with some stuff that's coming up in our community.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to talking about this Homo Hop tour that's coming to Houston.
I am very excited about that.
I wish that we were going to be in Houston during our show, that we could have him on, because the people who are coming to Houston to perform for that We play half of those artists.
That's right.
Johnny Dangerous.
Johnny Dangerous.
Tori Fix is going to be there.
Oh, man. Marry Me.
And
that's his big hit.
Our latest one that we've been playing, their Big Nug.
Yes.
Well, we played La Revolution, and I haven't played the second song on there yet that we got from him. But I'm going to definitely try and, you know, get down and talk to them, because they're going to be in here August the 6th, which is Good Friday,
mm-hmm.
at Club Dignity. It's downtown.
Okay.
And unfortunately, Saturday night, they're going to be over in Austin already.
Oh, so, damn it.
Yeah. Well, we luck out a little better in San Antonio, gets them on Thursday night.
Yeah.
So, well. We get them here for Good Friday.
Good Friday. One night only, folks.
And like I said, I'm going to get some more details on that. Ticket price for that is cheap. And, I mean, there's like seven artists in there. And we're, like I said, I'm going to get more of the information together and get some of this music together. And
but bring extra bucks, because they're probably going to have their CDs for sale.
Oh, yes. Because the one song we played, was it 2-3 weeks ago, La Revolution,
mm-hmm.
by Big Nug, that CD hasn't come out yet.
No kidding. And you've heard it first right here.
You got it out here on, wow. On KPFT and After Hours.
That's just some of the stuff we do for you. And because of the demise of The Voice, Chris and I are talking about a little format change to bring, maybe expand a space for some news or if more events going on, something like that.
And that's the part we want to do, because this show... Especially, you know, this is community radio,
mm-hmm.
is what KPFT is, and this show is one of those shows that's about a specific community, the GLBTIQQ, whatever letters mm-hmm. you want to add on there. And God knows we have enough of those letters that come through this show week in and week out.
The alphabet soup.
We want to be more representative. You know, I can sit here and tell you what it's like to be being a fat fag.
And I can tell you what it's like to be an aging, HIV-positive skinny fag.
Okay, but, you know, I can't give you the lesbian perspective.
That's exactly right, because we ain't one.
You know, I can't give you the African-American perspective. Nope. I'd like to have back the Hispanic segment.
Yes.
You know? Lord knows I wouldn't mind a few of the Asians coming in, but hey, enough of my preferences.
Mm.
But that's the fact is, you know, we want to have that out there. And, you know, the leather community, we want to... bring them back in.
Yeah,
I'm
working on that.
And we need your support. We need, and like I said, you know, I said it last week, and, you know, Jimmy may hit me for this, but I'll admit, this past month, I wouldn't contribute to the own show.
No.
January was not a good month for us.
Is there not shows that I don't think they were up to par for one reason or another.
They weren't up to double bogey some nights.
Well,
and last week was one of those. I was not in my form, and
no, but you played some great music.
It's weird, you know. I didn't have Jimmy here to crack a whip at me and say play women's music. I just for some reason played six songs of women's music, or technically five.
Okay.
The other one's not genetic.
Whatever.
It wasn't genetic. It was cosmetic woman.
Gotcha.
Oh, I'll get letters for that one. But no, that's the fact is, you know, we come here, you know, Jimmy's not that far away. I live out in Willowbrook.
Yeah, you do.
And, you know, this is what I came into town for today. You know, I didn't stop off at the bars. I didn't have a social ahead of time. I didn't have a hookup. I came in to do this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not paid for it. You know, Lord knows, if you listen to this show long enough, you'll realize we are not paid to do this.
Oh, that's right. We are amateurs. We are professional amateurs, is what we are.
Yes, we leave our professionalism for something else.
Yes.
And,
Slurp, slurp.
Hey, I'm looking at changing titles on that part.
Okay.
But no, I've lost some weight. TMI. But no, the fact is that we do come to this. We come here, and we do have a special. I mean, you know, we talk with the Hatch Group here. You know, I started listening to the show like some of those hatchlings did when I was in my 20s, living at home with my parents,
mm-hmm.
of listening to the show on a what's called a it was by Radio Shack. It's called a pillow speaker. It basically looked like a diaphragm on a rope.
Cute.
And it was just one giant speaker that you're supposed to put in your pillow so you could hear. And that's what I used to listen to the show. And I went down one night and snuck out of the apartment, went down to the payphone, and called in a pledge. And then I guess it was one of those three-week pledges, because then 2 weeks later I was out at one of the clubs and stumbled in here drunk,
blind,
left my sandwich that I had made from Kroger over on the porch there, because I knew what Big Roy was all about. And
for shame.
Next thing I know, I'm dragged on air because Big Roy remembered talking to me. And that started my tenure here with After Hours. I don't know how long I've been here.
I forget how long it's been, too.
It's, you know, I started off as just kind of a fill-in sidekick for Jimmy when he was playing music. It's, you know, 10, 11 years.
At least.
I, you know, like, the only thing I can judge it by is I got to find out when you know, heaven burnt down.
You've been here for half as long as the show has been around.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something I'm proud to do. And I'm, you know, I love doing and coming in here and
teaching.
Teaching, you know, spouting off. You know, I'm
entertaining.
Allegedly.
We bring you 3 hours of queer life.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's warts and all, and it's not pretty.
Yep.
And one thing that I've always strived with this show is I'm honest about it. I'm open about it. I don't hold back. Some of my friends wish I would hold back. you know, I think my middle name should be TMI. You know.
FM.
Hi. TMI FM. Welcome to KTM. But I, you know, that's one part that I bring this. I put my heart and soul into this. And so, you know, I wasn't joking years ago when I used to say, you know, as long as my if so that money in the bank, I have a sex life. I'm very open about those days.
I remember that, yeah. We've all been very open, I think, about our past life, because that's part of what we do on this show.
Who we are and where we came from.
Yeah.
Because that's the important part is, you know, it's one of those things when you're out here and you've got this microphone and you've got this ability to talk to people and tell them, I think you have to understand where someone's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You have to...
In order to know where they're going.
Yeah. Well, we're coming from KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
And all the other jazz we say at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And 80.9 in Galveston.
That's right. And speaking of Galveston...
It's 89.5 in Galveston.
What? Did you already do it?
No, but I think where you're going, we're not supposed to.
Uh-oh. Don't tell me that. I'm not supposed to do nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, no, I know where you're going now. Okay, I'm sorry.
On the World Wide Web?
No, I'm sorry. I was confused with what I said. I know you're talking about the undercurrent.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you're talking about something else.
Oh, okay, no.
Leave my undercurrent alone. It's just fine.
Well, the undercurrent has had a grand reopening celebration that happened this evening with special guests Wanda Jackson along with the Gulf Coast Drag Mafia.
And I missed it?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Well, it's under new management. The new owners are Daryl Keano and Jason Cryer. Both of those people have been on this show as representatives of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Like Inc. Jason.
Inc. Yes. And we would like to take the opportunity to thank everyone for their patience and understanding during this hard time of waiting for our license to be approved. However, now that it is approved, we truly look forward to serving the Houston and Galveston community to the best of our ability. If there's ever something the Undercurrent can do for your group or organization, please don't hesitate to ask. We can't promise it will always be a yes, but we promise that we will always consider everything that is presented to us. Undercurrent owners, which is located at 2409 Market Street. That's right in the Strand area. Yes. And who is... Okay. Well, it's nice to know that you kind of have a home away from home, so to speak. Yeah.
I was curious about what had happened, because there was supposed to be an event down there today, and all I got noticed was that it was canceled.
Really?
And then you know, that was a week or so ago that it was canceled with no reason why, and then all of a sudden I saw the thing saying new ownership.
Yeah, that's what that's about.
So...
So that worked out. But still, the pledges that we've received tonight are from long-term listeners.
We need virgins.
All of them.
Don't
and
we all?
I cannot tell you how much we appreciate that because these are people that we can count on to pledge and keep this show going. But we also need new listeners to call in and with their pledge of support.
Lord,
people who've never pledged before.
In order
KPFT.
To support our numbers.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, you know, we're suffering the same way that other organizations in this community is. We need some new blood.
Yeah.
We need a new influx.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have that new blood, we don't have that new green flow coming through.
Fresh meat.
We're going to wither away, and everyone's going to say, oh good, we're assimilating. We're not.
No.
We are just fading away.
I think two of the reasons for the success of After Hours is that we have had people support the show monetarily, like
Paul
and
Cindy
and Tigger. But we also, the show is ever-changing. It evolves over time. If I told you that it started out to be a show for gay men who came home from the bars without a trick, and that's really what the show was about when we started.
Oh, great. And we're background music from porn to J.O. too.
Yeah, there you go. And it has evolved to include all segments of this community.
And what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. And now that The Voice has gone out of print, we feel, Chris and I both feel, that it's our responsibility to try to fill that gap.
And, you know, we're not taking anything away from Queer Voices.
Oh, absolutely not.
Who does a great show with between giving you the national and international,
mm-hmm.
and the local news and such. And you know, we want to step up more to that and give you that perspective and give you the stuff that comes out here in Houston.
But we need your support to do that.
713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Or go out on the internet at www.kpft.org, and you can place your pledge there safely and securely.
Dig deeply into those pockets and give generously.
Yeah.
Yes.
We take plastic, or, you know, we take cash.
We do not take firstborn, do we?
No.
Okay.
You can pledge.
Depends on the age.
Pledge your support, and we'll send you a notice to
How
send
about
in
the
a
left
check.
Mad?
And you know what? Let's bring back the old concept of the cocktails for KPFT.
Cocktails?
Cocktails for KPFT. We ask you to give up one drink a month for KPFT.
There you go.
That's
one drink a month.
$5 a month. That's $60. Very convenient. Very easy. You know, just give your liver a little rest.
Yeah.
I'm just asking you to give up one Cape Cod a month.
And if you're a beer drinker, then, you know...
Two Heinekens.
Then it would be like a $30-$35 pledge.
Yeah. So just give up one. And then, of course, at the $150 level...
Ooh,
it's the cranker.
Yeah.
Where else can 30 seconds of cranking give you 30 minutes of pleasure?
I don't know.
It's the KPFT Cranker Radio.
Yes.
Gives you AM, FM, the seven weather stations, and I think there's a flashlight on there and a cell phone charger. You crank it for 30 seconds and you get 30 minutes of power.
Wow.
You know, I'm good, but I can't even do that with my fingers.
So to speak. And, you know, I rubbed this against there earlier. You know, we've got prisoners giving us postage stamps.
RMBBs.
Thank you, guys.
So, men behind bars. Yes.
I think I have to bring up the old phrase, what the hell are you waiting for?
Christmas? 713-526-5738.
And if you're looking for it on Craigslist, it would be 5**2***6 **5**7**3.
This is supposed to be the Binet segment.
Yeah.
Oh, they're sitting out there. Where'd our people go to?
They're sitting out there. We need to get them in and out because Cindy's. One of the things that Cindy said she really liked about the show was the roundtable discussions.
Oh. I do too. I like that. I like the varied points of view.
Then can we get David and Robin in here?
Get them in here. We need to get them in, get them off, get them off. Ah, yeah.
I'll give it up.
All right, I'm going to put on a little bit of music here.
Sure. Yes.
While we're doing a little transition. I picked this song because we got to finish with the Hat segment, and this is an artist that kind of debuted and premiered here on After Hours.
Oh, yeah?
During the Hatch segment.
Oh, okay. So, I know who this is.
So, of course, we have to be playing Sarah Golden.
You got it.
And the song title, I just think, is so hilarious. I Love You More Than Jell-O. And this is After Hours from KPFT Houston.
That I love you.
That was Ellis with Angel. Before that was Sarah Golden. And we got Robin here with Binet, but she's only half of Binet. Your mic's on. Talk.
Oh, that's why they call it bi, because it's like, it's only just a half.
No, it's because David went bye.
Bye. In the sweet bye and bye.
So now I'm like really bisexual.
By yourself sexual.
Yeah, by yourself
sexual. Uh-huh. So we're going to do a little bit more round table.
Backstreet Boys.
On that, we're going to save the bye net topic there. First of all, let's... We've got other chairs. You can sit up on the chair.
We have people rolling around on the floor.
All right. If you hadn't heard about this, I got a little bit of reminder. You need to hurry up if you do not have your passport or it's not up to date. You need to hurry and get that taken care of so that you have it back in time so you can get to London for March. Does it say when the show premieres?
What's going on in London?
Yeah.
He's working
Equus.
On it. Equus. Daniel Radcliffe. The Harry Potter.
Yeah. Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. He's grown up quite nicely. He's going to be naked.
The promotional pictures are hot.
Yes.
Oh.
I hear he made the horse blush.
There's pictures of him with a horse, and, you know, I had two reasons to sing Happy Trails.
I do believe one of us is starting to suffer from the vapors. Is it? Does the one that you have pulled up show the whole body or just from the waist up?
Everything is from the waist up.
Yeah, that's what I've seen.
He's the one that I saw in VH1 they showed was... This could be the cover to Brokeback Mountain 2. Yeah. He's wearing jeans.
Sure. Well, did you see Equus, the movie? With Richard Burton and Peter Colin Firth?
No.
Peter Firth. It's extremely great. And Peter Firth was like naked and hadn't come out yet, the whole film. And it's a wonderful, wonderful film. So I'm sure the play is going to be great, too.
So if you can find an unrated version of it, you need to pick it up.
Well, there's no such thing as a rated version. I mean, basically, he plays a great deal. The great deal of the play happens. The kid has this fixation. He comes from this extremely religious family, and they have this bloody picture of Christ being whipped and tormented above his bed. And then he fixates on horses, and he has this whole thing about purity and everything, and this fixation of the horse. And it all gets jumbled up, and he rides around on the horses naked, and you know, ends up doing strange things with horses. But he's naked a whole lot. All the way through.
I'm reading too much into this picture, but that looks like a pretty impressive bulge.
I think so. No, I think so.
Harry Potter's got a nice wand.
Well, and they let him look his age, too, which is really hot.
I read in the book that Harry Potter's wand was 11 inches.
Is it
applewood?
These pictures...
it's some kind of wood.
There's a lot of controversy because he is 17. Which, you know,
it's legal over there.
Yes, sure, 16 exactly. Is legal over there. Here, Jimmy, this is one that says this picture should be the cover of Brokeback Mountain 2.
Oh my God!
That's the Harry Potter kid.
Don't have a heart attack, Jimmy.
But it's not.
He looks so different.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
No, I didn't even know.
Looks so different
without
his glasses.
Without
his glasses.
Without the glasses.
He has a happy trail on his belly.
Well, yeah.
Happy trail. That's a pretty good forest.
Great. Exactly. Hooray for unshaved body hair.
Harry Potter's a little.
I could make some magic with that. Hello.
Harry Potter's a little hairy.
He sure is, yeah.
You know, this is the first site I've seen that seems to have all the pictures in one site for you.
Mm-hmm. Is he going to be allowed back on the Harry Potter set when the rest of the movies get made?
Sure.
Yeah, they're gonna
be
going
to
get rid of
them. Yeah, well, I just did a search of Daniel Radcliffe Equus.
Okay.
That's Equus. Equus.
Yes.
And the pictures are all on towelroad.com. TOWLEROAD.com. It's basically a blog site.
Mm-hmm.
Where this guy has it, and
it's a revival of a Peter Schaefer play,
of an old play, but it's a lot of I mean, you know, this has got a lot of controversy because, you know, 17-year-old, half-naked in the pictures. On stage, he will be completely naked.
Mm-hmm. I have a memory when I was a little kid of them doing Equus.
Yeah.
On Broadway,
exactly.
I remember, and I can even remember then, and I was I was younger than a teenager, I think, when that was on Broadway, and I can remember what kind of craziness went on about that play then, and I mean, and that was a much more closed time in, you know, as
well,
far
it,
as things
it was
that people
it,
were allowed to show, and
it wasn't, it were, wasn't,
you know. On Broadway, it was.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it was the kind of thing that normally would be off Broadway.
Well, yeah, but hair had already happened, and there was actually quite a bit of nudity on stage.
Yes.
Yeah. And, but it still was something that was shocking there. I mean,
sure.
It
was a subject matter.
It went in a direction hair never thought about going in.
Yeah. Well, and it's because it's him in an asylum, and the adult is. He's going through therapy, and it brings all this stuff up in you to get the whole story. And like I said, the movie is great. If it's on DVD, Richard Burton is amazing in it, and the boy in it is beautiful.
Psychotic, but beautiful.
I'm actually going to stay with his website.
Y'all need a bib over there?
I'm staying
with his
website. And he later came out, so maybe Harry Potter will later come out.
I'm staying with this because it's got some, this being a gay blog, they have some interesting little news stories on here. Something I heard about. We talked a couple months ago about the Ted Haggard, the hypocrite, who Christian... Christian with a little C, preacher who fell from grace. It was so funny. There was a documentary on, it was on HBO. I think it was Alexandria Pelosi did this thing about evangelical Christians. And she did a lot of talking with Ted Haggard.
Mm-hmm.
And they had put a little thing at the beginning saying, you know, a couple of days after I interviewed him is when they found out.
The heck.
You know, he liked to go to the big city and do crystal meth with a male whore while just getting a back rub, sort of thing. But
the back of what?
What he didn't say was it wasn't his hands he was getting rubbed with.
There was a lot of laying on of hands, and the healing was more sexual healing.
How very Marvin Gaye.
But here's an interesting. But yeah, this is an interesting story. As soon as the visitor from Denver walked through the church doors Sunday morning, heads turned, and word spread quickly. He was here. The escort, Mike Jones, went to Ted Haggard's former church.
Oops.
Oh, my God.
To do what?
Well, he's on a fact-finding mission for a book he's writing about his experiences with Ted Haggard. It's reported he was greeted warmly and offered blessings from the parishioners. He didn't tell the media in advance about his visit for fear it would taint the impromptu visit. He had read a lot about the church, but there's nothing like seeing it for yourself. It wasn't to rub anyone's face in it by any means. He just wanted to get some perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Jones's arrival proved emotional for some. A couple of ladies cried when they were touching me. I was thankful.
That's the only one who cried.
That usually costs an extra $20.
I've had that experience.
Haven't you, though?
I was actually reading another story that also relates to the...
Can I finish the quote?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sure. Please do.
A couple of ladies cried when they were touching me. I was thanked for exposing the church for helping Ted Haggard. A couple of them said they hoped I would get God in my life, and they all said, God bless you, every one of them.
Oh.
Associate pastor told Jones that he felt God had used the gay escort as a tool to help the church.
He may have been exposing God's gift, but he didn't. He wasn't exposing.
I don't want to impose my religious beliefs on you, but I believe God used you to correct us, and I appreciate that. Can you believe this?
No.
Oh, I can.
Never has been a whore welcomed so much into the church since Mary Magdalene.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Well, the related story that I came across about the same documentary is they were talking about how they were, part of this thing is where at Taggart's Church they're talking about what great sex life Christians have. And they're asking the men, they said, well, how often do you do it? And they said, oh, sometimes twice a day. And they said, well, how often does your wife have an orgasm when you'll have sex? He goes, every time. They're all like, every time. My wife's having sex every time. And the
liar.
And the little aside was, it would be really interesting to question the wives on the veracity of all those statements.
And also,
because I bet you they'd be honest about
it. Yeah, well, I'm sure the guys are having sex twice a day. It's just not with their wives.
There you
exactly.
Go.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be on cable, and I TiVo'd it to watch at my mom's house. So
you,
I'll have to let you know.
You know what they say about how you know you're in a gay church? Half the congregation on the knees, the other half screaming, oh God, oh God, oh God.
Oral Roberts, anyone?
Ooh.
They don't call him Oral Roberts for nothing.
That's right.
I thought that was what they called Jimmy Swagger. It's, oh God, I'm coming, oh God, I'm coming.
It's official now.
Probably the first thing to go to heaven is the
legs. Is that the Fred Sanford Church of, anyhow,
uh-huh,
of gay people? What is that?
Lance Bass is officially single again.
Oh. How unfortunate.
Which is good because I can't ever pronounce his ex-boyfriend's name.
So he said bye, bye, bye to his boyfriend.
Reichen.
Reichen. I'm Polish, you know. I get a name
you
like
would
that.
You think you would be able to pronounce that?
No, I just, you know, I get a fear I'm going to be put on the
given how long the Germans spent in Poland.
If I can find a German who wants to spend some time in Poland, it'll be a lot better.
The unfortunate thing is they didn't give you the 1-800 number to apply to be Lance Bass's next boyfriend.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, that'll be a really good reality show.
That boy, that boyfriend was just way too perfect. He was just a little, as they said on Steel Magnolias, looked like the whole family's carved out of cream cheese. I don't know, that boy was just, I'm like, this boy was in the military? Please.
Yeah, I wanted to bring this up earlier with the Colts versus Bears challenge with the Super Bowl coming up here in
Today.
A little interesting little fact that some people may not know is the coach for the Indianapolis Colts, Tony Dungy, is going to be honored at a fundraiser for the Indiana Family Institute, one of Indiana's most fervently anti-gay groups, with close ties to James Dobson's focus on the family.
Gee, what a shock.
Now, the invitation features Dungy in his sideline uniform. And it's Friends of the Family Banquet. So, you know, it's giving a little reason there to say, one more reason to root for the Bears in Super Bowl 41. Their quarterbacks, either one of the quarterbacks.
I really do have to find something else to do tomorrow.
Yeah. Makes me want
to watch the commercials.
Yeah. I watch the Super Bowl for, you know, the commercial ads and the occasional tip. Yeah.
Could they have Lance Bass? Could they please have Lance Bass have a wardrobe malfunction during the halftime game?
There's pretty much nothing that could get me to watch the Super Bowl. Nothing.
Maybe Kevin Federline playing the pass.
Have you seen the two quarterbacks?
There's still nothing that could get me to watch it.
Makes me wish I was.
I mean, I can see cute naked men other places than put myself through the Super Bowl.
I guess I'm the only one in the whole radio station that would actually be in the football. Everybody else is kind of
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting story out of Texas radio.
Yes.
This comes out of Amarillo. Right?
Amarillo.
Yeah.
Good old Amarillo.
Just in time, Pascola, a disc jockey in Amarillo, was fired from his job at KBZD Energy 99 for inappropriate content on his MySpace page, considered inconsistent with the station's policies. According to the DJ, the content in question was a line on his MySpace profiles in which he said who he sleeps with shouldn't be any concern to anyone.
Ooh.
Sounds like Michael's type.
Yeah, doesn't it?
According to the alleged statements by the company's chief officer, said Skoysite promoted homosexuality. We felt he was a threat to our reputation in Amarillo.
Don't you have to have a reputation?
Well, you know, I think they probably feel like they have to defend radio because they've totally lost TV. You can't watch TV without seeing gay content, whether you're on the cartoons channel or whatever channel.
That's right.
Except maybe Fox.
We felt he was a threat to society as a whole by publishing such things on the websites that are associated with us. The content of some of those blog entries of Justin on those websites entails sexual solicitations. Those are inappropriate, inconsistent with what we allow through our company policy, and was terminated because of that.
You know...
Welcome to 1984.
Exactly.
Now, one of the comments you made about being... you know, seeing gay stuff on television all the time there. The big show, Brothers and Sisters.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, my mother told me this last week. 2 weeks ago, I had left early. And so she was watching the show, and she went back to the bedroom to watch the final 30 minutes or so before turning out everything to go to bed. And my dad was back there, and... The one character who's having the gay character who's having a relationship there
with the closeted,
with the closeted bisexual
TV
soap
star. Yeah.
Well, they kissed.
Oh, really?
Now
I missed that episode.
They kissed a couple of times, but they kissed again. And my dad looked at it and he goes, "Did I just see what I saw?"
He used to kiss his old boyfriend regularly, and they're in bed. They're in bed together several times.
And you know, one thing that
naked
that kind of hit me with this that I realized about Brothers and Sisters is you've got oh, God, I forget her name.
Who played Callista?
No.
Fields?
Hold on a second. Just shut up. I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. Mistress.
She's from 30-something. She's married to Ken Olin, who is the producer.
That's what I was trying to get at, is the fact. And if you remember correctly. Patricia Wedding, okay. If you remember back when 30-something was on the air, the problem they ran into when they tried to show two guys kissing in bed, and ABC wouldn't let them do
that. That's right. We've come a long way.
And those are two people that now all of a sudden are in a show where they show not just two men kissing, but, you know, one climbing out of bed after fooling around with
Ironically
them.
Enough.
The guy who... Sorry, go ahead.
Ironically enough, ABC used to be is now owned by the Mouse, Disney.
Yeah.
Go figure.
And I just find that really interesting.
The guy who is one of the main writers and created the show, one of the creators of the show, was on Charlie Rose the other night for about 20 minutes talking about the show. And he is a Broadway, off Broadway and low, kind of small Broadway writer. And Ken Olin came and specifically asked him to help him create the show. And he was talking about how the whole idea of the bringing in having the war and the son who's about to go over the war, and just how he really sees the show as a microcosm of America right now and all the issues that a lot of people are dealing with. Of course, we all wish we had as much money as those characters. But
I have a vivid memory of being a very frustrated person. I guess I was in my late teens when Dynasty was doing its thing, and having the character of Steven, the sometimes gay son,
who
every week, depending on how the censors felt, he was flipping back between his wife and his boyfriend.
Yep, right.
And it was like, damn it, would you just be gay and get it over with.
And his father was just constantly dogging him, too.
And they would barely even touch.
Yeah. My gaydar,
there was no kissing at all.
No, my gaydar was pretty much going off when the guy who writes for Brothers and Sisters was... So I'm pretty sure he's gay. And that's one thing, too, that I find interesting, is that a lot of the writers for television and cable, like Alan Ball and different people, are openly gay now. The people that are creating a lot of these wonderful shows, even the ones that don't have huge,
lot of gay characters, they're, you know, thanking their partners. They get up and get these awards and thank their partners. Get up and Ellen, yeah. Ellen got another award for her TV show. She leaned over and smacked her girlfriend on mm-hmm. her way up to the thing. It's, you know, it's just, it's everywhere. And like, have you ever seen Drawn Together? This
yes. Yeah.
I mean,
earlier.
It's so yes. gay. Yeah. I mean, they made the same, they had a Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of parody where they made this TV show was going to, this Twinkies TV show was going to turn the world, future world gay, and
yes.
they had to
yes,
save the gay future. I mean, it's so over the top, and it's just,
not long ago.
It's incredible.
I mean, not long ago, somebody on TV said, you know, once it was box office poison, it was television poison to do the gay thing. Mm-hmm. Your career was doomed mm-hmm. after playing a gay character. Mm-hmm. And somebody the other day was saying, you know, once that was going on, now today, it's uncool if you don't have a gay character
well,
on your show.
And it's box office. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I also think of Melrose Place.
Yeah,
true. Who had that, so pretty, Doug Savant.
But she's even gone further.
Playing a gay character who, and I counted it once, because it struck me as I'm watching every episode that he was in that something was up. And I counted it. There were, for every 5-minute scene that all of the other characters interacted, every scene with the gay character, with his gay character, was 3 minutes long.
Huh. No kidding.
Interesting.
I sat there through a couple episodes and counted, and it was like, and whatever scenes the gay character was in were always shorter than everybody else's scenes.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, you know, now I think it's even, I think it's career poison. I mean, look at what happened to this Isaiah Washington or whatever his name is on Grey's Anatomy.
We were discussing
sort of, yeah, I'm sure.
Opened mouth and inserted foot, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you don't do that.
But the bad part is that Isaiah isn't the one who's getting punished for this. There's rumors are now that T.R. Knight is going to leave the show because of this.
He just got married, and I mean, the character doesn't act like he's about to leave, and
well, no, this is something new that's just come out this past week, is that he's going to be doing that, because I think it's because he feels, probably unfortunately, he feels upset that, you know, the show has gotten to the point where it's, all this background is because of him,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What background?
I mean, the
controversy.
The controversy mm-hmm. is causing this. No one's talking about the show. They're talking about, you know, the faggot word. You know, when you get, I mean, even with the Screen Actor Guild Awards, the one doctor who won an award on there, mm-hmm. you know, she thanked the rest of the cast. She said, you know, all of them that are here, and, you know, the one that's in rehab. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know for, and you say they don't act like they're going to leave the show. I'm sorry, but TV is famous for taking out a character, blindsiding you by taking out a
sure.
character
that's
by
true.
A sudden
that's
death
true.
Or a sudden, you know, somehow they suddenly leave a show by some tragic means. I mean, if somebody wants to leave the show or they want to take somebody out of the show, somebody can easily,
right.
a character can easily suddenly drop dead.
And plus, but you got to remember that they've already filmed episodes up
yeah.
to this. So.
And I think that for the bloggers and for, you know, the scandal rags and people and all that kind of stuff, that yes, this is stuff that they're going on and on about. But I think the people that watch the show regularly love the show, love
yeah.
what it's doing, and could care, I mean, not could care less, but they really feel like, okay, well, the message came through loud and clear. Don't, you know, you don't call people names, period.
There's a movie called The Dying Gaul, which I have yet to see. And one of the characters in this screenplay that this writer is pitching is gay, and they've told him, we will take your story, the studio will accept your screenplay as long as you change the gay character to a straight character, and that it's his wife that's dying and not his lover.
Yeah.
And it goes on about the controversy behind it. I have yet to see it, but I want to.
Yeah. And I think that there's kind of a backdoor kind of thing in the sense of I'm actually glad that whole scenario happened in the background of Grey's Anatomy. Because, yes, the guy put his foot in his mouth, but it really, really got the message across really clear that you do not do this. This is not, you know, acceptable. And I think, other than sort of right-wing nut jobs, everybody is in agreement that, you know, you just, it's not cool.
I think the other thing, though, is that even if it's made that the other person did something wrong, you know, said that, you know, said faggot and all of the, I think a person leaving a show for some thing is often more based in if you feel like you are uncomfortable in the setting you are in.
Well, I'll believe
you know, if he does, you know, it, in an ensemble cast like that, I mean, if there's somebody who you have an obvious conflict with, I could imagine it being very difficult to work with that person. I mean, that would be on TV or in any job where you know for a fact that there's one person who has a direct conflict with you. It's very hard to, you know, put that aside and just get on with you with the work.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Kind of, you know, if he does leave, I'll be surprised if he leaves.
I mean, they play. You know, they had drama, the whole Rosie O'Donnell drama.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm waiting for that whole show to come apart. You know, over that nonsense. You know, simply because it's become a recurring theme about the controversy, and I thought it was hysterical when Whoopi Goldberg was on there this week as the guest host, and they. And they talked about her controversy when she said those things
And
yeah, I like that Rosie O'Donnell kind of like just stopped talking about it altogether. She say something for a few minutes and it's gone with the show.
Yeah.
And Donald, he just kind of like put his foot in his mouth every time and just made himself look more immature than she did.
Good for her then.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. So we're talking about hypocritical right-wing nuts.
Yeah.
Mary Chaney.
Oh, God.
Speaking to a crowd at Barnard College. Gee, that's. I'm not going to go there.
No, don't do it. Wouldn't be pretty.
In Manhattan this week, Vice President Dick Cheney's lesbian daughter, Mary, defended her pregnancy and same-sex parenting. When Heather and I decided to have a baby, I knew it wasn't going to be the most popular decision. This is a baby. This is a blessing from God. It is not a political statement, nor is it a prop to be used in any debate. On either side of a political issue, it is my child. Calling Focus on the Family wingnut, James Dobson, not somebody whose endorsement I have ever drastically sought, Cheney told the crowd exactly what the Bush administration's religious right-wing base doesn't want to hear. Every piece of remotely responsible research that has been done in the last 20 years has shown there is no difference between children raised by same-sex parents and children raised by opposite-sex parents. What matters is being raised in a stable, loving environment.
You go, girl.
How sweet she finally found her backbone after her daddy got reelected.
Right.
Again.
Well, and can't be, you know,
Democratic Congress behind her anyway, so she can say whatever the hell she wants at this point, you know.
But John Stewart said that, Cheney's grandkid cannot be used as a political thing, and then they showed Bush and everybody else and Pelosi with her kids and basically lots of politicians with their kids. Just everyone else's kids.
As I said before, you know why Thanksgiving was almost ruined in the Cheney household?
Why?
Mary didn't bring back the turkey baster in time. Jimmy's not even turning around. His head went a little deeper into the box.
So to speak.
And his face hasn't been near a box in years.
Supposedly another member of Survivor has come out.
Oh, goody. Who?
J.P. Calderon.
Is he pretty?
Looks it.
I lost track of that a while back.
Yeah, ooh, yeah, me hello. Too. I haven't watched it in 5 years or so.
It almost seems now that there's a formula for a reality show.
Thank the gods.
Where you have to have the drunkard, the homosexual, the...
It doesn't have anything to do with gay, but the reality show that I've sort of... I don't really watch it, but occasionally I sort of skim it a little bit, is the wife-swapping thing. That is just weird. Oh,
that has had... I know it's not however, that has had gay... Yeah. Teams, because has been at least one wife swap with a lesbian couple. There was I've seen an episode with a lesbian couple. I've seen and there was an episode where one of the women, one of the wives was a Wiccan high priestess. That was a train wreck waiting to happen, because guess what the religion of the other family was?
Catholic? I love the aspect of the culture shock. I love watching the culture shock happen and it really does seem to affect these families.
Yeah,
in
I noticed
a big
that
way.
They kind of fizzle out because one is trained to the other, they kind of fizzle into the middle.
Well, and by the way, some of them actually learn something.
Yeah,
they really do.
Having
just seen a picture of the survivor dude up there, any day of the week, I'd rather see him without his clothes off than Richard Hatch.
Oh, child.
Please.
Speaking on behalf of the gay fat community, click.
That had nothing to do with him being fat.
Ouch.
But he was there first.
That had nothing to do with him being fat. He just not pretty to look at.
I didn't think he was the ugliest man on the planet either, though.
The tabloids called him Machiavelli.
I don't know.
A
few weeks on a desert island didn't do a lot of good for him.
Your taste. Ooh. That's your taste.
That's the point.
He didn't turn me on either, trust me.
What's he trying to say? More talk about Anderson Cooper. Is he or isn't he?
Oh, he is, please. He's Gloria Vanderbilt's son, for crying out loud. The woman who made more boy butts look like, you know...
Apples.
Like apples. than any Hummel collection on the planet.
And who has slept with as many men as most gay men.
Ooh. Yeah.
And wrote a memoir about it recently.
How old is Anderson Cooper? He's like in his late 40s, early 40s?
Maybe 50. Who knows?
And I mean, that man is fine. That man, he's got the bluest eyes on the planet. And that silver hair, you know, it's just... He's got one of those, like, prematurely silver heads of hair, and it's
so
just like,
earnest.
He's 39.
Sincere.
39, there you go.
He's so earnest and sincere.
Oh, my, yes.
He turns 40 during Pride Month.
Well, he was one of the first ones who made it cool to cry while, you know, doing a report about a tragic event, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was crying all over the place when Katrina was...
Well, he said, too, that it really... He had kind of stuffed the pain of his brother's suicide.
Yeah,
and that all of that, it all came together for him.
Yes.
And what's wonderful is he then related the whole story, you know.
Yeah. And they had his mother on there, too, that night.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how old she is, but she ain't aged well.
her memoir about the son's suicide is really quite touching. It's very good. It's not a big book. It's very readable.
I was just clicking over this one thing there. He got an award from GLAAD.
Good.
For a report he did on a high school football team where one of the co-captains came out.
Ooh.
Well, there
very
you go.
Cool.
On that.
Well, he's got to be gay then.
He received a GLAAD award.
Reminds me of that Monty Python sketch in the Holy Grail.
He's on CNN. If you can't be openly queer on CNN, what's the point of
doing
well,
news.
He's kind of, again, doing the Michael Stipe thing of just, he doesn't really want it to be an issue, and that's silly, but, well, okay, whatever.
Well, yeah, on some level, no, it shouldn't be, it's not like, you know, he doesn't have to say he's gay with every other word during a report. But, I mean, let's face it, when Ellen came out on her own show, that show went downhill because every episode was about her being a lesbian.
Right. Yeah.
Her new show survives because, guess what, it's about other stuff besides the fact that she happens to be a lesbian.
Right. Yeah, she hardly ever mentions it at all.
She doesn't mention it at all, hardly,
it's
ever.
It's a fact.
Yeah, it's just a fact, and she's it's not the blonde, point of her show.
She doesn't say, I'm a blonde every show, either.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this... all Anderson Cooper needs to do is, you know, partway through the show, go, hi, we're at the 69 minute of 360.
It'd be nice to see him with somebody.
Yeah. That would be good. Me.
Now I sound like his mother.
It just made to find somebody.
Her grandmother.
You're old enough to be his mother.
Yeah. Absolutely. I am.
I'm sure you wouldn't mind being his daddy, huh?
I'm proud of it.
There you go.
Let's talk about gays in Utah.
Let's. Oh,
what?
There are gays in Utah?
Boys from Boise.
I know a witch in Utah.
A bill would repeal the law against sodomy.
Yay!
Utah. No, I.
All those polygamists will have a good time with that.
These first five words of this article just kind of floor me.
Isn't it unconstitutional? Never mind.
Utah's only openly gay senator.
Who knew?
Is sponsoring a bill to eliminate the state's anti-sodomy law. But Senator Scott McCoy of Salt Lake City,
of course,
said the bill had nothing to do with his sexuality. I'm doing this bill for all the consenting adults who don't want the government's nose in their business.
Well, everyone knows
what part of the government.
Appropriately, Bobby gave a rim shot on that. Jimmy, did you hear that line?
No.
He came charging back in here so fast.
A bill to repeal the law against sodomy. And the guy who's sponsoring this bill in Utah said, I'm doing this for all consenting adults who don't want the government's nose in their business.
So to speak.
Appropriately, Merlin gave a rim shot.
I heard the rim shot. That got my attention. Yeah.
He says this applies...
Well, if anybody's going to give a rim.
Yeah.
It applies to heterosexual individuals with equal force. The bill released for the first time on Wednesday is largely symbolic because of the U.S. Supreme Court already struck down anti-sodomy laws more than 3 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
But McCoy's measure would still face heavy opposition from people such as West Georgia Republican Senator Chris Buttars, and his name is the primary opponent of wanting to keep a sodomy law on the books. His last name is spelled Buttars. You couldn't write this stuff.
All that needs is one or more E on the end.
He was the butt of jokes in high school.
He promised Wednesday to fight that all the way. You can like sodomy. I don't, he said. I think sodomy is sickening. You're just doing it wrong.
How's the last part of his name spelled?
Butters.
You put an E on there and you have the English word for...
Yes.
McCoy will try to... Now, here's the thing. McCoy will try and gain support from conservative lawmakers who routinely support legislation aimed at Utah's gay population by describing his bill as a conservative measure.
Mm-hmm.
This is a government get-out-of-my-life bill.
Well, that's what the conservatives are all about,
right? Barry Goldwater, was very pro-gay rights. Mr. Conservative was.
You know, I got the name Merlin from a witch who now lives in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember what Barry Goldwater said about gays in the military. It shouldn't matter if you're gay or straight.
That's right.
It should matter if you can shoot straight.
Well, I think that only came out after his grandson came out.
Exactly.
At least it did.
I've said this before. I'll say this again. I think... If I was in the military, I'd be worrying about my butt. Not the soldier in front of me.
Well, you know, and I mean, over and over again, anything you see with guys isolated in country. I was in Vietnam with a bunch of guys. You know, it is... Whether anybody actually inserts or fondles anything, it is so gay. It is so homoerotic. And the reason why Americans are against gays in the military is because they don't want everybody to know how gay it is.
It is.
Actually.
Yeah. One quick little thing here I want to bring up before we go
and
to the end
here.
And not
gay, but I mean, you know, it's men loving men.
The article in, once again, this is the early edition of the Sunday Chronicle.
Okay.
About the AIDS quilt.
Oh, yeah. Is it coming back?
Well, it's a 50... It's about the controversy with it. The 54-ton...
Oh, gosh.
AIDS Memorial Quilt is at the center of a legal tug of war.
That's scary, actually.
Oh. It has been 20 years since Cleve Jones started the AIDS Memorial Quilt here, painting the name of a friend who had died from the disease on a simple piece of fabric. During the next two decades, the quilt became the largest piece of community folk art in the world. A 54-ton collage of a fixed with the names of 91,000 victims of AIDS.
Oh, my goodness.
Jones is in a legal tug of war with the quilt's caretaker, the Names Project Foundation, over 35 of the 6,000 panels. The dispute dates to 2004 when Jones filed a wrongful termination lawsuit against the foundation, which is based in Atlanta, and was established to care for the quilt after being fired from a job as a fundraiser and public speaker. While large parts of the lawsuit were dismissed in a settlement in 2005, Jones was granted custody of 35 of the billboard-sized panels. They're generally made up of 8 quilts affixed with the names of people who died. The settlement called for Jones to set up a non-profit organization to care for the quilt while it was in his possession. But in December, Jones told the foundation he would use an umbrella group instead of the newly formed non-profit to sponsor the quilt. The plan, the foundation said, was unacceptable under the agreement terms. They've taken it upon themselves to decommission one of the most powerful weapons we have. It's not intended as a passive memorial. The foundation's executive director, Julie Rhodes, said more than half of the 6,000 panels have been displayed in each of the past 3 years. That said, the quilt, which, if unfurled, would cover 6 city blocks.
Wow. Glory.
Needs constant upkeep, and the foundation has rules about lending and caring for it. Not only do we need to look at our daily work of sending the quilt on the road and making sure we have it as active as possible, but we also have to plan for the long-term stewardship of it.
Sure.
And I've got a picture of one of the panels there in the paper. Like I said, I don't know if that's going to be in the actual one you're going to get on your doorstep here in an hour or so.
Yeah.
I give it to Jimmy, so he's got it for GCAM.
Thank you. Gulf Coast Archive and Museum.
Last chance now. Call 713-526-5738 and get in your pledge of support here to KPFT, and especially us here on After Hours. Show us the love.
Yeah.
We're tired of self-love. We need some love from y'all.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something exactly like that.
Yes.
Well, actually, at least I'd like to have somebody else's hand.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you want to get in contact with us here on After Hours, you can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org, or you can shoot us a snail mail at After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Not just a zip code.
We're not at that point yet.
Oh, okay.
Lovett Boulevard.
L-O-V-E-T-T. Love T-T.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, a lifestyle.
God, he's gone for 1 week.
I know,
he's already forgot the whole damn thing.
I was waiting for the cue for Dirty Pictures.
I gave up on that.
We don't get dirty pictures anymore.
I got a Craigslist
to download
them.
For our own.
I know. It's
and I
awful.
Think Opie took his pictures off, damn it.
Damn it.
Opie was naked on the web?
Oh, I'd pay to see that.
He's a natural redhead.
I never doubted that.
Boys and girls.
Messerschmitt. World Domination Party.
KPFT 713-526-5738. Call in quickly. And now it is your PSAs.
Supporting KPFT today is one of the best things you can do with just 2 minutes of your time. Hi, I'm Jason of the Dead Time Radio Show.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston.
If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.